life's not like Flynn, and you've done all you can. You may need a new plan. Call the helpful snowman. He'll tell you what to do. If your life's tied to gold, he will make you brand new. If you don't like it, fuck you.
100. Oh my God, we did it. Here we are, episode 100. 100 of these have happened in our lifetime. How lucky we are to be alive during these fast-moving times when we could listen to 100 of these. What a bizarre... I don't know. It's very strange. I don't know how these things happen, but fuck it. Let's just have a good time. We're going to celebrate a little bit. We have a ton of guests coming in today. Just about anybody you've heard on this show who's not my ex-girlfriend, and even some of those, will be stopping by. So get ready. So like I said, congratulations to everyone on 100 episodes. We did it. This is our big day, everybody. For you and for me. If you're listening to this, thanks. I don't know. I can't imagine anyone would listen to this for the first time on number 100. But maybe you just want to see what happens when someone devolves over an entire day of talking into a microphone. If that's what you're here for, you're in for a treat. We're kind of waiting. We've got our first guest will probably be here in about 10 or 15 minutes. Here's the thing. 100 episodes. I mean, 100 episodes. I have a soundboard that I put on my telephone that has one sound. That sound. That's the only thing on there. Pretty good use of company resources, I'd say. 100 episodes is not... I mean, it's a big deal, I guess. It's about 2 years worth of shows, as far as if you counted one a week, 52. I know it's 104, but we did some extra episodes, you guys. We had some bonus shows, and we've also had some extremely long shows, and we released more than one a week for quite a while. So here we are. And I kind of told myself a while ago, I got all this crap, you know what I mean, to fulfill my radio dreams and destinies. And, so I had to put in the initial investment. And then, here's the thing with this. It's like any hobby where you start in on it, and you start thinking, like, you know what would really make this good? Is if I got this one thing. You know what I mean? There's always another little thing that's like $25 that you're like, this would actually, I think... improve the situation quite a bit. So I did that for a while, and then suddenly realized, okay, if I keep doing this, I'm going to be completely broke. And really, I don't know why, because I've done 10 horrible, shitty radio shows in my life, you know what I mean? And this is where everything's going at this point. So I decided, you know what, I'm going to just kind of chill out until we get to... episode 100. I'm not really going to worry about changing how everything sounds. I'm not going to screw around with any of the equipment or anything like that. I'm not going to do any crazy like, oh my God, we need to promote this show or make t-shirts or something. And I was like, I'm going to wait till episode 100. Because if I can make it 100 and not miss a week, I think I can be confident that this is something that I can keep up momentum-wise. So that's the exciting part. What does that mean exactly? Does it mean we're going to have big guest stars on here? Am I going to get Marc Maron to interview for me or him? I don't know. It's crazy to me that Marc Maron is on other shows, really. Because if you listen to his show, the first 10 or 15 minutes is an interview with him every time. He interviews himself and then interviews some other guy. So what the hell do we need him on some other show? What is he going to talk about? I would think he's just going to talk about most of the same shit, right? But who knows? Maybe there's a lot to this. Maybe he's a Marc Maron onion that needs to be peeled away layer by layer. But I don't want to go there. I mean, here's the thing about how I feel about this show. It's just been me talking and other people I love having. But they're not like weird people. They're not, I'm not trying to get like some famous person on this show. Because you know what else the problem is? I assume if you listen to this, you must listen to at least 3 or 4 other podcasts. Because if this is your only podcast, you're a crazy person. I mean, maybe you found... I don't know how you would even come across this before you came across anything else. But so if you listen, I mean, if you listen to 4 shows, you'll basically... It's like, oh, I guess this is Todd Glass week. You know, so he's going to be on The Nerdist. He's going to be on Marc Maron. He's going to be on You Made It Weird, You Made It Weird, and he's going to be on, you know, Earwolf shows, everything. You know what I mean? He's going to be all over the place. So it's kind of annoying because you're like, well, I've heard that Todd Glass made the rounds. I mean, yeah, of course, if I was Todd Glass, I'd be like, oh, fuck, I'll be on any show. What difference does it make? But I am not Todd Glass, and neither are you. And neither is anyone who I'm interested in having on this show. I don't want to ask someone about their life in that way. Someone famous, if you can Wikipedia somebody, I can have Alec on this show. You cannot look him up on the internet and find out what his life is like. You can't find out his life story. His bizarre masturbatory habits aren't just available. So it's a story. It's something different, right? But I mean, those guys are just boring to me. I don't need that. They're not boring. I just don't need more of them. I've got enough. And I hope you do too. So that's why this is different. This is just a loser guy who's done 100 episodes with no... I mean, this is... By the way, so much of my time goes into this show and the website and all that stuff. Not one dime have I made ever. Ever. Ever, ever, ever. You know. One time I asked for a donation day just to see what would happen, and I made not one dime. And I think it'll continue that way. And I'm okay with that. I think it's okay. You know, I don't think this is a product that's quite good enough to be making a ton of money just yet. It's kind of it's still in its infancy. I don't know why someone would want to listen to it, really. But I'm going to just keep going. Don't let that worry you that I'm going to stop or something. I think the momentum is great. I'm still enjoying it. I mean, This whole thing started for 2 reasons. One, because I've, you know, talk radio for me has always been huge. It's kind of, in a weird way, been my, you know, friend a lot of times as a thing. You know, and as in high school, I listened to Loveline all the time. And then grew up and, you know, podcasts became a thing. And that's really awesome for me. Because listening to people talk is a lot easier for me sometimes than songs. Because after you hear, I'll hear a song. I don't ever like a song at first. This is Pete's phases of music. Hear a song, don't really like it. My favorite band will come out with a new album, and I'll be like, not really into it. But then I listen to it, and once I get a little familiar, then I really like it. Then I think it's great. The best thing I've ever heard. Then I overdo it completely. I'm like, I like these 3 songs so much, I'm going to listen to them when I wake up, on my way to work, during my lunch break, when I go for a jog, if I'm doing busy work at work, and before I go to bed, you know, when I'm doing the dishes. So you can blow out a song real quick that way. And then they're just kind of part of the normal songscape. You know what I mean? They're not special anymore. You blow it out. It's no good. It's still a great song. I would still say, you know, my favorite songs are still excellent songs. However, you know, they don't have the same punch time after time. So the beauty of talk radio, and especially, you know, unscripted, just when people talk, is that if it's someone you enjoy listening to, it's going to be a little different every time, at least. I mean, they kind of cover a lot of the same stuff a lot of the time, but you're going to hear something new, or at least in a different order. So, I mean, the highs are less high than they are. Like, the best song in the world, I think, is probably more enjoyable to listen to than the best one-hour podcast I've ever heard. Certainly on repeats, you know what I mean? If I had to listen to that song for the rest of my life, or that same podcast, I mean, the podcast is not gonna hold up too well. But there's so much out there now that, you know, I don't have to repeat a lot of stuff. I don't have to listen to the same crap over and over. So it's just, it's nice, and talk radio is like a friend of mine. It's like a voice in my ear. It's so weird because, you know, there have been times where I've been very lonely, and listening to people, it was like I almost oftentimes forgot if they were my friends that I was talking about. Like, did this happen in my real life, or was that a show I listened to? I would start telling a story and be like, who told me that? And then I'd be like, oh yeah, some guy I've never met who lives in Chicago. You know what I mean? And I will never know anything about him other than hearing. But I've heard so much that it's just in there. So that was reason number one, because it's been so good for me, I thought, and it's just been a big thing. I don't think you can spend, maybe some people can, I don't know. Maybe this is why I'm not good at being fans of sports, right? I could not watch football for 8 hours a week without starting to be like, I think I want to play football on some level. I want to play, you know, some kind of adult league of football. It's just like, if I love something enough to spend that much time on it, I probably, you know, want to do it myself also. Or at least try it, attempt it, or be involved in that world somehow. So it's kind of, you know, Star Wars, let's say. I'm a kid, I'm into Star Wars. And it's like, okay, obviously I can't be in Star Wars, but I could read these novels that are also based on Star Wars. It's always a little bit more for me. I can't just, you know, passingly enjoy something, except for the TV show The New Girl, which we'll talk about again. I can't believe that this is warranting a second talking. Is anyone else talking about this show or watching it? I'm starting to wonder if The New Girl is a real show or if it was planted somehow when I was sick. And there's like this whole structure. It's like a Truman Show kind of thing where they are watching me to see if The New Girl, like, does he believe this is a real thing? Is that possible? Is this a real show? Because it kind of doesn't feel like a real show, but it kind of does. Anyway, I don't know why the hell I started talking about all that shit. But here's the other thing. I also wanted to do this because, you know, I'm a 29-year-old man. And as you get older, you'll start finding, I mean, there are great times of life. I'm not saying that 29 is like the worst time of my life or 28, but I don't know. Late 20s were tough. And part of the toughness is you'll start to find things like basically the people you hung out with and the people you like start having much fuller lives in a way. They have other things they want to do. Most of your friends, if you called them at 10 p.m. on a Friday night when you're 22 and said, come out, they'd be like, all right, I'm doing it. I think most of your friends, when you're 26, when you do that, say, can't do it tonight, you know, because they don't really want to. And I don't blame them. I was, you know, I'm not that guy either. But it starts to become, you start to feel a little like you have to schedule your time with your friends. You have to, like, make time for your friends. You can't just, you know, have them appear. They're not going to just show up. So I thought doing this would be a way to keep talking to my friends, keep having friends, basically, without, gosh, how do you even say it? It'd be a way to sort of still have friends and talk to your friends on a semi-regular basis. But it seems okay because it's like a scheduled task, you know? It's like a fitting it in the schedule. I mean, I feel so stupid because, you know, I'm growing into this idiot who reads these books about, like, how to make time for your life and whatever. I read this book. It's like the decision book. 50 ways to make decisions, you know, and 90% of them are really stupid. And I'm like, yeah, way better than this. And then I'll find one that I'm like, rubber band method actually is pretty good, you know, pretty good. So the thing is, I think that people, and myself included, are really good at, you know, we're really great at making time for, like, work, right? Like, oh, I can't miss work, can't do that. But what we're not so good at is making time for the things we really super want to do, you know? Everyone has time to go home on Christmas, yet, you know, people will be like, ah, you know what? I can't go do these five things I really want to do, you know? I'll never see the pyramids, even though I really want to. I don't know. That's a weird example. Fuck the pyramids, by the way. My brother went there. We'll confirm this with him later, if I remember, like 5 hours from now. He was saying you go to the pyramids, and first of all, it's like everyone who takes you there is like a scam artist. Takes you there on a camel. And secondly, there's just trash blowing around everywhere. Just garbage. I don't understand that. It's such a weird thing to me that, like, you know, we went and visited him, okay? I'm not going to categorize the entire rest of the world here. But other parts of the world have very different opinions on how important the disposal of garbage is as a task. Some parts of the world seem to feel like it's extremely important to put litter in a trash can. I mean, most of the people I know, if you were walking and threw a candy bar wrapper on the ground, would be horrified. They'd probably pick it up, you know, not even tell you to pick it up. They would immediately, like, dive on it, like you'd thrown an active grenade in their foxhole and they were protecting their Sarge or whatever. Not only would they do that, but they'd probably seriously disrespect you or, you know, not respect you the way they once had after this incident. They'd be like, they would never forget, even if they didn't remember the specific incident, they'd never forget the feeling of watching you throw a wrapper just on the ground. Just throwing it on the ground like it means nothing, you know? But over there, there was just trash everywhere, you know? And it was like, I don't understand the mentality of that. I mean, I guess if there's no garbage can around, sometimes, you know, you can feel different. Or, you know what I've, like, thought about a lot? Let's say I started this restaurant, right? Started a hamburger place. And there was a rival hamburger place that started up across the street. I think part of my campaign would be to litter their branded bags with their logo on them all over the streets. That way, people would associate, they'd be like, oh my God, well, first of all, scumbags go there. Secondly, every time I see one of their bags, it's in the fucking gutter, covered in black soot, like when you touch the underside of the banister on the escalator. Is that what that's called on an escalator? That huge rubber strip? If you ever touch the underside of that, I think it's got graphite or something on it to lubricate it. But it's filthy. It's fucking filthy. Every time I see someone on an escalator, you know, it seems like one out of every five escalators is broken at any given time. So many a times I've seen somebody and they've, like, disassembled the escalator and they're down in this pit working on it. And it's probably not nearly as dangerous as I think it is, but, you know, having seen, the only times you see this are in real life when someone's just working on the escalator or when someone's about to die in a movie, horrifically. It's like the sewer. You know, you see someone going in the sewer and you're like, ooh, buddy. I don't know, because it's always the sewer guy who finds, like, the living bat creature, bat boy, or, you know, gets mauled by alligator man or whatever down there. It's always that guy. I mean, they always go in the sewer for, you know, they're like, something big is stopped up there. And some guy's like, probably just a tree root. Send down the new guy. And then he comes down swearing, because the new guy's been down there forever and seems to have detached his safety line or something. He's going down there swearing, chomping a cigar, and then the cigar drops off his mouth into the sewage. This is the other... I'm not really clear on sewers at all. I need, a Public Works guy in here because it's my understanding that the sewer is, shit and pee mixed, diarrhea. The toilet paper, I guess, is in there, too. That must dissolve on some level. I have no idea. But then, whenever they're in there in the movies, it doesn't seem to be... They're not, walking in a swamp of feces. It's always just water. So maybe it's, water, but... Is this in a rainy Seattle-y situation where it's well, we got a lot of just kind of, not unclean water that needs to be drained all over the place. It's just a water town. We're really into water. I don't know. Or somewhere Oceanside where they're for some reason funneling the water all around to make a secret hideout for Bane, I guess. I don't understand. Are these things separate? Do they combine at some point? Does the rainwater ever... Because they're always... That's another thing. They're like, don't throw your trash in this sewer hole, which I disagree with. I think that if they didn't want us to put pizza boxes, save them, and insert them into the sewer, I don't think they would make the sewer perfectly pizza box shaped, would they? The opening to it. I mean, that's... It's like the perfect thing to put it inside of. And I think human beings, ever since we're little kids and we have that thing with the triangle, the square, and the circle, we like putting things inside of things that look exactly just right. You know, or there's kid puts a marble in his nose. You're like, well, that was a bad idea because you can't get it out. However, on the insertion part, end of things, that was a great idea. That worked out really well. It did insert perfectly. It was very snug. Everyone was happy, So what I'm not clear about is, does the water that goes into that mix with the poo and pee water? Because if so, if someone said you can drink this cup of water that's had a pizza box soaking around it, or this water that had a log of shit floating in it, I'm taking pizza box water. Call me crazy. Call me maybe. I'm taking pizza box water, my friends. It just doesn't make any sense. I obviously have a very low understanding of the world at large. But this is one that's not ever going to come together for me. Also, one night I was out and I saw what I thought was kitties in the sewer. And I was like, oh man, what are these kitties just doing? They're living wild. Of course it was raccoons, baby raccoons, and... Being the wild frontiersman that I am, I crossed the street because I was like, fuck that, because, I don't know. I was like, well, I'm sure it would be fine if a raccoon attacked me, but I'd probably need a rabies shot or something. So I'm crossing the street, fuck that shit. Why risk it? The thing I thought, was if I don't cross the street, if I'm like, I have the guts to walk past these raccoons, and then I did get attacked, I'd be like, what a fucking idiot. All you had to do was cross that street. I guess this is the suburban version of seeing someone who looks gangstery and you're in the middle of the night walking by yourself and you cross the road. Because you're like, I don't want to because I don't want, to be that guy. But if I did get mugged, I'd be like, should have crossed the street. Why be afraid? And no one's going to know. Unless I just talk about it on podcast, how I was, terrified of baby raccoons. But so are these baby raccoons appear to be living in the don't throw trash in the water thing, which again, if my options are glass of water from poo and pee mixture soaking, pizza box soaking in it, or raccoon living in it, peeing, pooping, vomiting, if they do that, shedding raccoon hair, furs, I have to go with pizza box. So, say what you will about my habits, my garbage disposal habits, but I think I'm doing the right thing. And you can too. Pizza boxes in the sewer. Or someone could explain to me why this is not okay or why it's okay the way it is, how this system works. I need to know that it works in some level before I can really move on to anything else. Wanted to, a lot of big stuff planned for this show, because, you know, I've got a lot of time. So, you know, I could just kind of run through some of the things I was going to talk about, just to kind of get people excited, right? I've got a great story about when I ripped the crotch of my pants. I've got a, I went back to IKEA and had breakfast there, which was, you know, a thing. I did a Twitter experiment. I've got Pete's App Corner coming up. We're going to talk about a chef. We're going to talk about some pants, not the crotch rip ones, some different ones. I've got a big Facebook thing that I'm really upset about, sort of. We've got, I think towards the later part, because I have a pretty big break in the evening, I'll probably tell the story of my motorcycle days, which should be exciting. Got some Batman talk, some music talk, of course, Christmas stuff going on. Oh, we've got some action movie stuff. We've got some stuff about a new habit I have involving the bathtub. Cherry stem stuff. Christmas gift ordering, that's a problem. We have a Frank Sinatra impersonator story that's really important to tell for some reason. I mean, not for you, but for me. I got to get these off my chest. I have a bunch of stuff here. I intended to just talk about this all on episode 99 and start fresh. You know what I mean? Hey.
I got you a present.
I didn't even know. Oh, my God. All right. Hang on, everybody. We got to take a quick break, and we will be right back. You talk.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm super great.
Great. You've got like your NPR kind of voice.
Hi there.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me on the show.
This is Terry Real Gross.
This reminds me of that skit on SNL, like the balls.
The sweaty balls.
Because they talk like this.
Now, you brought a thing. Do you want to... I mean, we could officially get reset here and start talking again, or do you want to do this first?
Whatever.
Okay. Well, because I have some special music to bring you on.
Oh, okay.
And I haven't introduced you or anything.
Okay.
So we'll just restart.
Sure.
I'll cue up this music.
Okay.
And we'll introduce you.
Great.
And we'll talk about what you brought.
Fancy.
Here we go.
Okay.
Somebody once told me the world is gonna roll.
You're welcome.
I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed. She was looking kind of dumb with her finger.
When is this song gonna be over?
Shape of an
I mean, we got it.
Are you
gonna
cut it off?
Yeah, when are you ready?
Well, the years start coming and they don't stop coming. Fed to the rules and I hit the ground running.
Why do I get this song?
Because you love it.
I don't even remember how this started.
So much to do, so much to see, so what's
you're dancing.
The back streets, you'll never know if you don't go.
Whoa!
Shine, oh, did you hear that little scratch in there?
Hey now,
wow, wow. You'll never know if you don't go. Wow. Hey, everybody, we're back. And with me, for the very first time ever, is my good friend, who I like very much. I'm stalling to get this ready for you. Allison.
Thank you. Wow, thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Hi, everybody.
That was a lot of work. I have this whole soundboard. It's got one button on it.
Yeah.
And it's applause.
That's really nice.
I was just using it when I was saying it's our 100th episode.
Very fitting.
Yeah.
So you put that clip on just for this episode?
Just for that.
Oh, good. Okay.
There was no other purpose for this.
All right.
And I did do a little more work. There was a fart sound on there that I removed.
Why? Because you were like accidentally hitting it?
Yeah, and I was like, I'm not going to need a fart sound. I don't want it to be like, it's our 100th episode. You know, fart noise.
Okay.
So you brought a gift.
I did.
Today.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to start videotaping here because I think this is a visual importance thing.
Absolutely. I mean, it's quite stunning.
Yeah. It's gorgeous.
It actually came out a lot prettier than I thought. To be honest.
Do you want to describe? Hang on just a second. All right.
Yeah.
So we are here looking at what Allison brought to celebrate our 100th episode.
Yeah. You know what? I think it needs the candles, though.
Okay. This is, I suppose you would call it a cake of sorts.
I mean, I think the original title was a Kwanzaa cake.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if the listeners out there are familiar with Sandra Lee.
Who we need to talk about today because I've been dying to talk about her, but I didn't feel up to doing it by myself. I didn't feel like I would do it justice.
Right.
So I wanted to have somebody else here, and I'm glad it's you because I have so many things to say
about this.
So, this is a cake. Do you want to describe how you made this cake? What
I would love to, Peter.
Okay.
I would love to.
Please do.
So, the first step really is finding an angel food cake.
Right.
Which was harder than I thought it would be.
Mm. I think it'd be easy.
I went to two stores. That's one store too many.
Yeah. For this.
For this.
And... okay, yeah, go ahead. I'm excited to ask about the garnish most of all,
sure.
I think, but
yeah.
Go ahead. Keep going.
So you find your angel food cake, right? The next step is to find a can of frosting, vanilla frosting.
Okay.
I'm sure you noticed.
Now, I've noticed this is not vanilla color, which white.
Oh, no. See, the brilliance of Sandra Lee is her semi-homemadeness.
Okay.
So you take store-bought ingredients,
mm-hmm.
you add... homemade things.
You light these candles too.
Oh, I would love to.
To really celebrate. So yeah, her thing is she's semi-homemade, which is like she takes things out of cans, boxes, and cellophane, weird shit. The frozen aisle is kind of her area.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like everyone's got an area of the store where they probably spend an inordinate amount of time.
Right.
Like, what would you say yours is, probably?
Produce.
Me too. Not because I eat so much produce, but because I eat just enough that it's difficult for me to select properly.
Oh, it's so pretty.
Look at that.
Happy Kwanzaa.
This looks amazing on
and
video
100
here.
Podcast.
So you've got an angel food cake.
Yes, you have the angel food cake. You have your can of vanilla frosting.
Yes.
I think mine might have been Duncan Hines.
Okay.
But, you know, brands, whatever.
Yeah.
Then you have to buy, and this is really the kicker, I think, a filling.
Yeah.
You purchase apple pie filling.
Which is right here.
Yeah.
We're looking at that
real
substance.
Glossy. It was not the consistency I thought it would be.
It does look like it's covered in a petroleum jelly.
Yes.
Is
food
that,
gloss.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Food gloss.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then there's a ring around the outside.
Yes.
Acorns. No, now, not acorns. That's what Sandra Lee
thinks
they are.
That's what Sandra Lee calls them is acorns.
Those are corn nuts, my friends.
These are corn nuts. Original flavor?
I think so. They were the only package of corn nuts I could find in the store.
Now, when you say store, do you mean gas station?
I mean King Soopers, the big one.
They do sell corn nuts.
Yeah, they do.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And then you've also got, are these sunflower seeds?
Those are pumpkin seeds.
Pumpkin seeds?
I did make one little little difference from the recipe called for toasted pumpkin seeds.
Oh.
I didn't toast mine.
They're just
so assuming.
Straight up.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I had.
I mean, yeah, it probably will take some away from the holiday flavor.
So I made this morning. It went pretty quick.
Uh-huh.
You take your can of vanilla frosting. You add 2 tablespoons of cocoa powder.
Of course.
And 1 teaspoon of cinnamon.
Of course.
To give it a nice, you know, spicy, you
yeah.
know, Christmas.
Kick.
Well, Kwanzaa flavor.
Holiday feel.
Holiday feel. Festive.
Yeah.
And 2 teaspoons of vanilla, which apparently is supposed to cut the store-bought tastedness of it.
And these candles are so fucking tall.
Oh, right. I
that
forgot
I can't
about the
get
candles.
Them in the shot. Half the time.
Yeah, well, they didn't have Kwanzaa candles. They only had
right.
Christmas candles.
Yeah. But this is exactly, I mean, this is a shockingly accurate recreation of Sandra Lee's abomination of
yeah.
a cake.
Yeah. Oh, that part's dented.
And this is like a thing. Okay, Sandra Lee, I had never heard of this person.
Mm-hmm.
But then you introduced me to her. We were hanging out this one night. And for whatever reason, you said something like, have you ever heard of Sandra Lee?
You were talking about how you had that book of like A Man with a Can.
Oh, yeah. A Man, a Can, a Plan.
Right. And how terrible it was.
Yeah. So this guy is just some shithead.
Mm.
And he's wearing like a flannel shirt and he has a men's spiked haircut and sunglasses. And it's like his book is beer can shaped.
Yeah.
And it's a hard book, like those books for babies. Where each page is like cardboard.
Right, a board book, right.
Yeah, a board book.
So if you want to gnaw on
industry
it,
term.
Or
yeah,
if you
I guess
like
if
drool on it.
You get so hungry because these foods are shitty. Or, yeah, it looks so delicious. So here's the point of A Man, a Can, a Plan. He's like, I've broken the code. I cracked the code. You can just take these ingredients, these cans, open them. Dump them together, put them in an oven or something like that, and you are going to have a meal you
right.
will not fucking believe, my friend.
Which one did you try?
It's
going to
be magic. It was some kind of a stew. I don't remember what all was in it, but I had this big, I don't even know what it was in, a pot of some kind, and
yeah.
you put it in the oven, though.
Yeah.
So you take these, like, 5 cans of different shit, you know, there's, like, corn, some kind of mushroomy thing, probably.
Yeah, like cream of mushroom soup.
Almost. I think cream of mushroom soup was like 90% of the recipes.
Mm-hmm.
Some beefy thing. Bunch of shit. I mean, it was... And then you put it in the oven, and you're just supposed to kind of wait for an hour.
Yeah.
The first thing that happened was it expanded far beyond the original size.
Right.
Somehow.
Went beyond the containment.
All over the bottom of the oven.
That's weird.
Where it remained.
As if the soup expanded.
Weird sort of story. So, like, right after this happened, I got... This was in my early phase of being not living at home.
Right.
You know, and I didn't really know how to cook at all.
Right.
I mean, I'm trying to learn.
Right.
But at that time, you know, I was like, man, a can of plan. This is a great start.
Mm-hmm.
So I spilled that stuff all over, and maybe 2 weeks later, became terribly ill because I ate rotten sausage. And so then my roommate also had sausage, but far less. And his body processed, I vomited like for weeks. He processed it far enough that he diarrheaed for like 2 days, uh-huh. and then he was back on his feet.
Oh.
So.
Where are we going with this?
He started like making stuff. He started making frozen pizzas in the oven.
Sure.
And the smell of these frozen pizzas combined with the crusted on.
Oh.
Man can plan
bad.
Juices
huh.
will forever in my mind remind me of being severely ill.
I see.
I mean, the smell of it, I came out this one out of my room, and at first I thought it was, you know how you're sick and you kind of like cocoon?
Sure.
And then you go outside for a minute and come back in and you're like, it smells like a sick
oh,
person
gosh,
in here.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that happens, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you're
that's
so
a big
adjusted
problem.
To the scent.
Yeah,
I get it.
That's what, you know, this last week I was sick.
Right.
Went to Target and came in and I was like, my God, it smells like a dump that's behind a fish restaurant. Like, what the hell is going on in here? If I was the landlord and I was coming in to check, because uh-huh. it's like I didn't get the rent from this guy, as soon as I opened the door, I'd be like, you know how
where's
they
the
always say, yeah, they always say like, you know, the smell of a dead body.
Yeah.
I'd be like, this is it. Not going to, I'm calling the cops.
I don't know, maybe just a dirty body.
Mm.
No, I mean, I don't know, I wasn't.
You I visited me it. While I was sick.
Yeah.
Did you notice an odor? Was it stuffy?
No.
No, it wasn't too bad.
I don't know. I didn't take
it's
a whiff.
It's okay if there was.
Yeah, I was probably holding my breath.
You probably knew going in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I took some smelling salts or something.
That would be smart. That would be wise. Yeah. You had secret, like, nose plugs in.
Yeah. Hey, here's your soup.
Thanks for bringing me soup.
Oh, sure.
So anyway, Manicana Plan was garbage. Not only did it overflow, mm-hmm. I took one bite, and this was a gigantic pot of stew.
Yeah.
Took one bite, and I was like, I can't eat this.
Okay.
What am I going to do? I have to throw this out now.
Yeah.
Because there's no fucking way I'm eating this. But, right. You know, I put it in a container and put it in the fridge for a couple days.
Right.
Because I had a roommate.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to be like, well, I destroyed the cleanliness of our oven.
You didn't
this is horrible. Yeah, I didn't want to just be like, it was 100% a waste. It's really hard to go fine. From pot to dumpster.
I know.
Straight.
It is.
But it's what I should have done.
Yeah.
That's what I would do today.
Yeah. So anyway, you were talking about this, so then I think I wanted to relate. So I brought my own experience, which was basically just watching Sandra Lee.
Right.
Yes.
Now, Sandra Lee is this weird blonde alien lady.
She's pretty weird.
She's kind of like a cross between like a school art teacher and like some lady. You know what she seems like? Someone who would come talk at corporate events.
Yeah.
And get you pumped about stuff.
Or like used to follow bands around.
Yes. Yeah. In her wild days, she was following String Cheese Incident.
Yeah.
And then she gave that up to do seminars staying with your husband.
Super skinny.
She's
but
super
she has
skinny.
Big boobs.
With big boobs.
And
which
like,
this is a TV chef thing.
Yeah.
Because
I mean,
who's
it
that
is.
Italian lady?
Well, all the men chef are like typically overweight and not attractive.
Yeah.
And the women all have big boobs.
Yeah.
And are very pretty and small.
You know what I'd like to see? I would like to see, you know, we could fight this trend by having a modestly chested lady.
Uh-huh.
Or you just go ridiculous.
Okay.
You basically just take a porn star who's got like quadruple H.
I don't know.
Biggest boobs ever.
I don't think that would be
and
fighting.
And then put
it.
Her on a chef show.
I don't think that would be fighting it.
No?
No. I mean, no. I don't know.
I just, maybe she could corner the boob market and then people would be like, all right.
Well, they're not
maybe
as big
we don't
as
have
hers.
To do that. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I get it.
No one's going to be as big as that's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Okay.
But anyway.
Anyway.
So she's like a what's that movie where the wives are all robots? Stepford Wives.
Yeah, kind of Stepford Wivey. Yeah. But okay. So every episode she does is like thematic.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole thing, it's like, you know, let's have a tea for Mother's Day.
Right.
And like the whole kitchen is color coded for that holiday.
Right.
And like she prepares, I don't know, like 10 dishes that are all semi homemade and all look shitty. But then she also makes like 3 cocktails.
Yes.
And she doesn't ever eat the food. She's just like, doesn't that look beautiful and delicious? Then she makes the cocktails and she's like, 1 for me, 2 for me, 3 for me.
Yeah, she's drinking the whole time. I mean, this is the one thing that I do like about her is
she's drinking.
She makes these cocktails. She's like, you know, and they're fucking really ridiculous because it'll be like one of my favorites. She had an aquarium theme for some reason.
Oh, that's right.
And she made what she called her ocean breeze cocktail,
mm-hmm.
which is hypnotic, which is blue booze in a glass.
Uh-huh.
And that's it.
Right. That was it.
And then she always has to garnish like out of control.
Oh, yeah.
She puts on like, you know, in that she'll be like, and then we're going to peel an entire orange and put the whole thing.
Yeah, all of her Christmas cocktails have candy canes in them.
Yes, a whole candy cane.
Like you're going to sip this cocktail and then eat the candy cane? I don't know how that works.
She'll have like a martini glass and there's a candy cane hanging off the side.
Right.
Like that kid in Dick Tracy who would try and ride the taxis by standing on the side. And the bottom of the candy cane is touching the ground. Like, it's not, this is not an appropriate.
No longer a garnish.
No, it's more garnish than it is food.
Like a snack attached to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you shouldn't have, I mean, you should not have a garnish that is so outrageous. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm trying to find this video of her. She had a really great meatball video that I wanted to play just because there is a sound effect.
Oh, right.
Of her dumping marmalade yeah. into this.
You know, the thing was this morning when I was making this cake, I really wanted to just call you and put the phone up to the can of apple pie filling
just
and not tell you what it was.
Into there.
Just have you hear it and be like, guess what I'm bringing. Yeah.
It was so terrible. I think this is it here. So here's the thing. You showed me first this Kwanzaa cake because this has become somewhat of a cult thing.
Yeah.
Like people are aware of it so much it's so huge. That after looking into it, I found there was like a confession written by some lady who wrote the actual recipe.
That's right. You did research afterwards.
Yeah. And she basically wrote this huge apologia about like, I had to do it. I didn't know what I was doing. She's a terrible chef and a bad person and I wish she was dead. But, you know, I have a lot of regrets and, you know, all this stuff. I mean, it's like a big thing. But then looking at her other recipes, not equally bad, but bad.
I mean, yeah.
Really bad.
A scale of bad.
One of my favorites was a meatloaf.
Yeah, you love that one.
You know, she takes this meatloaf and it looks sort of like an average meatloaf. You know, except she always has to do this. She's real into sauces.
Yeah.
Like, if she puts ketchup on something, she's like, make sure and get the really fucking big ketchup because you're going to need the whole thing.
Yeah.
And dump it all on the top. Yeah. And she's real into dumping.
Yeah, she is.
There's no art to this.
There's no finesse.
No.
Yeah.
So she'll dump it on, you know, and she has this meatloaf and it's just on a cookie sheet.
Right.
And she puts it in the oven.
Oh, that was so gross.
And what emerges looks like a baby's corpse after it's been just
cooked,
dipped in the cremation fire and then taken out. Skin bursting out. Like the inside of the meatloaf is bursting.
Yeah.
There's like hot grease.
Maybe like the inner organs of like a diseased dead dog.
Yes. Yeah. Like if your dog just all of a sudden its back legs didn't work, you take him in. And they're like, we removed this mass from your dog.
It was like the weird, like, brown, gray, but with, like, pinks,
and
you know?
And charred on the outside.
Charred. A little, there were, like, glossy parts,
some
too,
kind
though.
Of a cheese had developed inside of it that I don't understand the science behind.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, and here's the thing. The one thing I gotta give her, she's taken this out, not the slightest, like, ooh, boy. She's like, that looks amazing.
I think she might have said gorgeous.
Gorgeous. And you're like,
isn't that gorgeous?
The thing about a meatloaf to me, it can be real good.
Uh-huh.
But it's not the most aesthetically attractive.
Right.
Especially in the whole loaf form.
Right. Well, yeah.
I mean, it's not, anything loaf doesn't really sound great.
No.
Bread loaf is okay. But right. like, I don't know.
Loaf.
Would you want to eat like... loaf anything? Cheese loaf?
Right.
I bought cheese that time. It was a baby loaf, and I was like, I'm a little grossed out by that.
Yeah, it was a little weird.
It was like a little baby loaf of cheese.
Yeah.
So, but you know, she's like, and everything she makes, there's not one thing she makes that I approve of. No. We had like a minor argument over a dessert she made, which was an ice cream that she made look like a potato.
That was practically an argument.
So here's what happens. And I think the thing is, I'm not opposed to this as a...
I thought it was so cute.
I thought it was... Here's the problem I have. She basically was like, how can I take a dessert, an ice cream dessert, and make it appear like a potato, baked potato?
Like, say if you're having a potato-themed party.
Right.
Which she might have been.
When you said that, I was like, what the hell are you talking about? And then remembered,
let's
like, oh, we have like potato day in town here every year. So actually, it'd be perfect. So here's what she'll do. Like, she takes a big thing of ice cream, freezes it so it's hard.
Uh-huh.
Then she dusted it with like cinnamon or something.
Well, first she indented the top, so it kind of looked like a loaf. Yeah, she cut it open. It was kind of a little loaf of ice cream.
And yeah, it was very potato-shaped.
It was potato-shaped.
Yeah, she wrapped it in plastic and then dented it and then put it in the freezer.
Right.
Then she takes it out and covers it in cocoa powder. Right. That's what it was.
Brown.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So now you've got a brown outside and the white inside.
Right.
And then she took a slab of yellow frosting that was also frozen.
Right.
Put that in there as the butter.
Right. Cut a little slab. Yep.
I was personally offended.
I know. You hated it.
Because I don't know why you would make ice cream into a potato.
Right. Well, yeah, and you'd spend all that time, making a slab of yellow icing just so that you could have a butter pan.
And, I mean, if I went to her house and she served me this, this is what I always think about, too. I always imagine myself being a 50-year-old man, balding, going into, somebody's holiday party.
This is what you always imagine?
Yeah, let's say I have some spouse and we're going to her sister's house.
Okay.
And it's like Sandra Lee.
Okay.
So we show up and she's like, I made this ice cream potato.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, what the fuck?
Okay.
Whatever. She's just into it. But then there's other stuff. Like she made the other big thing she does is those tablescapes.
Oh, gosh.
She's always I have a tablescape.
Touch. That's like her garnish for the show.
Right. And it's like,
oh boy.
There was one we watched where the tablescape was like a shitty old chair.
Oh my gosh, yeah. She does her tablescapes are crazy because she fills the table, like the space in the middle of the table, which is where you're supposed to have dead space.
Right. So you can see other people and talk to them.
And live. Not feel crowded.
Yeah.
Well, she uses all of that space with knickknacks and stuff that she buys. Yeah. In the middle of this table, there was an old chair that she found.
A full size chair.
A full size chair on top of the table, in the middle of the table. And she spray painted it gold.
Yes.
And then literally used the word ratty. She found ratty trim that she
stapled
to the edge of the chair.
Yeah, and this is her. She has a fucking show.
Yeah.
This is a real show
on
Food Network.
Yeah.
Long running.
Yeah.
10 years.
Yep.
And she's stapling old shit to a chair and putting it on a table.
Yeah.
So here's what I imagine, right? I'm an old guy and I'm just whatever. We'll go here for holidays. This is going to be fine.
Uh-huh.
And then I arrive and she's do you want one of my special cocktails? And it comes and it's got 10 candy canes hanging off the side.
Right. There's all this fruit in it.
Yeah. And she's wearing a Santa hat.
Oh, God. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
It was on the TV at the gym the other night.
Yeah.
And she...
This show?
Yeah. This show was on the television. And it was like an angel party. Guess what she had on her head? She was wearing all white and she had a halo on her head. And her tablescape was her tablescape... Her whole table was covered. It was a snow village, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It was all these white buildings. Everything was white. And the buildings you zoomed in, they were gingerbread houses. I think she was implying that you were supposed to build a village of white gingerbread houses so you could cover your table.
You build a whole town, a model town, Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
And then you put it on the table.
Yeah, and you put it on the table.
And this is for nothing but watching it. This is just... I don't know where the plates go on her tables, the food.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know what? Maybe this is part of the thing, because if she has a tablescape,
right,
so you can't really put your food there,
right,
people use these tiny plates.
Right.
Because they ain't going to eat much of it.
Well,
how many meatballs are you going to eat?
From the food, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're it was... So I picture going to that. She hands me the cocktail.
Uh-huh.
There's a table covered in a gingerbread...
Yeah.
Rat's maze.
Right.
Her dog comes out. She spray painted it gold for the holiday.
She's so weird.
She has an Oscar party. She spray paints him gold and puts a bow tie on him. Every year at her Oscar party is when her dog passes away.
Oh, God.
And then she has to get a new one right after. This is how I picture. I mean, I can't. The thing is, even on TV, it looks crazy.
Yes.
But then imagining it in real life.
Right.
It makes you feel high or it makes me feel I come from Pakistan.
Right.
And this is all completely foreign to me.
Yeah.
I have no idea what's going on. I'm a little frightened.
Yeah.
These foods look, Never have I seen foods bought in a store that I could buy look so foreign.
Right.
You know?
That's true.
I think I have this meatball thing here.
Oh, it's ready?
I think so.
I want to grab the sleeve out of my slow cooker. Your meatballs
okay, she's
are going to go in here. And
unceremoniously dumping frozen meatballs into a crock pot. Now, here we go. Here's the marmalade. Listen carefully.
Orange marmalade. A little leftover for breakfast.
How
time.
Is that vomity sound for it? I'm going to try and go back here. Just to capture.
Catalina is a
whole bottle
dressing.
Of Catalina
it's
dressing.
A tomato basil
she dumps an entire bottle of Catalina dressing into this.
They don't go
in here frozen. A whole bottle.
And then to this.
Okay, here we go.
All I'm going to put in here is 1 cup of orange marmalade. A little left.
It sounds exactly like someone going, oh, like vomiting. Yeah.
Yes.
Like I think they maybe, you know, they'll do like an old time radio show. They'd have a guy shake a big piece of metal to make thunder.
Sure.
Maybe they had a guy and they're like, we didn't catch the sound effects. And they're like, can you make like a jar sound? Yeah. Now she's dumping like, I don't know, 8 pounds of Worcestershire sauce in there.
Because it's not salty enough.
Yeah.
To this and make it a little hot.
So oh, spice.
I'm going to grab my crushed red pepper.
Oh,
just half a teaspoon of this really
what
makes
else did
the
she
dish.
Add in? So it was marmalade and
marmalade,
Catalina dressing, and Worcestershire sauce.
Worcestershire.
Was there something else though?
Crushed red pepper. Well, I think the meatballs are already like seasoned as well.
Okay.
I think she's like, these are Italian meatballs.
Okay. So well, there wasn't another ingredient. It was just.
No, I think that's it.
Okay.
So you dump that in there. You let that slow cook until you just feel
till it fills your home.
Yeah, until it fills your home with a mustard gas type of smell. And until you start to feel woozy.
Yeah.
And you're not sure if it's from the cocktails or from whatever.
Yeah.
And then they've got a nice glaze. I feel like they'd have just a little crunch on the outside.
Gross.
Yeah.
Why would they have crunch?
I just feel like they would.
I don't think they would.
Just based on watching it.
I think they would maybe have turned to mush.
Think about like there'd be a meatball towards the outside.
Uh-huh.
Touching the hot side of the crock
pot. Well,
maybe
pot that part would
with
be
like marmalade.
Crusty. Sure.
Would have like, oh.
Sugary. Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know. I think anything in a slow cooker, all the ingredients sort of like combine. You know, they like unify.
They kind of just congeal.
So
into
I
one.
Think maybe in a way there would be marmalade-y meatballs, but then there'd be meatball-y marmalade too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's insane to me. Okay. There was I also made a part of one of her recipes for Thanksgiving. I made this cheese dip, but I borrowed one of her garnishes, which is a pretzel rod with like a cherry tomato jammed on the top like a little hat.
Yeah, that was pretty weird.
And just stuck it in there.
Uh-huh.
My family didn't really comment on it, which was kind of... Here's the thing, the sad part about making a Sandra Lee thing that looks crazy.
Right.
When people don't really comment on it, you think, do they really think that I think this is okay?
Right.
Like, I wanted them to know.
It's not obvious enough that it's weird. It's like, it's on that borderline of like, maybe they thought they were being classy.
Yeah. I wanted them to know, like, this is not okay with me. I hate this.
Yeah.
I'm sad that this is a thing. You know. So that's Sandra Lee.
Yay.
I love Sandra Lee. I recommend watching her, actually, whenever possible. So I had a couple things I wanted to ask you about. Two big things, really.
Uh-huh.
One of them is your dog.
Yeah.
You have a corgi.
I do.
Dog.
I do.
And something,
everybody knows he's a corgi, too.
That's what I wanted to ask you about. Because I didn't notice this at first. And I'm not like a dog guy. So when I see him, I recognize something, but I don't really even know corgi.
Right.
You know?
I mean, I didn't think people did either.
Yeah,
little
I know like
did
three
I know,
kinds of dogs.
If there's one breed everyone knows about, it's the corgi.
Yeah. I mean, I can recognize a lab, a retriever.
Sure. Right.
And then from there, it goes downhill to like, well, that's a Lassie dog.
Dalmatian.
A Dalmatian.
Sure.
I can recognize wiener dog.
Right. Dachshund.
Whatever that is.
It's a dachshund.
Okay.
It's actually related to a corgi.
I'm not surprised.
I mean, yeah, similar.
Riding low.
Short little legs.
Stubby legs.
Big schnoz.
Yeah.
That's a nose.
That is that a dog term, or was that something I just should know?
Not familiar with the term schnoz.
So, and I didn't notice. I mean, we've gone out walking with him in like a crowded downtown area.
Yeah.
And you seemed sort of hesitant.
Well, see,
and I
okay.
I didn't know why.
The thing is, I love my dog.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's nice walking him around if I'm feeling lonely.
Right.
Because I tend to get a lot of people stopping to talk to me.
Yeah.
But, you know, if I'm just walking around doing stuff,
right.
you know, getting
like
shit
we're going
done,
to get a sandwich.
Right. It's really annoying.
Yeah.
Because a surprising number of strangers stop and start talking to him. And it's so peculiar because people like dogs, but they're like, oh, what a cute dog.
Yes.
Hey, doggy. Hey, little puppy.
Yeah.
No, my dog is not generic. It's, hey, corgi.
Yeah.
Hey, it's a little corgi. Hey, that's a corgi.
I
hey,
see a
son.
Corgi. Corgi over there. There's
son,
a corgi.
This is a corgi. Just a test.
That
for
was
you.
One of my favorites. The last time we went, there was a guy. We walk past him and he goes to his son. He's like, son, do you know what kind of dog that is?
Yeah.
Like he's quit. And the kid was like, I don't know, 8.
Right.
He probably doesn't know.
Yeah.
Know.
The kid was totally like, no. What?
Yeah. Seemed completely
Are
mystified.
You testing me
right dog
now?
Quiz doesn't seem like a normal one of their activities, their father son bonding situations.
No.
And then he's like, do you know what kind of dog that is?
Hey, son, what kind of dog is that?
Yeah. And the kids are, I don't, you know.
Right.
It'd be like if my boss came up to me and was like, what kind of underwear do you think is the best?
Right.
And I'd be like, well, I what? Don't.
When? Is this appropriate?
I don't know what's going on. I feel like this isn't the real
me?
Question you're asking.
Yeah.
And so then he feels him and he's like, that's a corgi. And then he said something like, you know, it's really great about that kind of dog.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know what's great about that dog?
Yeah.
And of course, we're secretly listening.
Yeah.
And
I was
thinking
I wonder what he's going to say.
Because they're loyal. Because
they're
fun.
Right.
You know?
Because they,
really
they get
sweet.
You a lot of attention.
Yeah, because they get you a lot of attention.
Yeah.
No.
No, he said, because they can't run away from you.
What a jerk.
Which I don't understand.
What a fucking jerk. I should have just taken him off his leash and been like, run, badger.
Run.
You
Get know
him.
What we should have done? We should have said, oh, yeah, and then we should have set up a race, a foot race between Badger and the sun.
That would have
you
been
good. You
know
what good. I mean? They could have raced in the park.
Yeah.
Like a 50-yard dash.
That would have been great.
Because you know what I've learned? Even the smallest, weakest dog, like a Chihuahua,
sure.
in a 50-yard dash is still fast as hell.
They have 4 legs.
Yeah.
We have
4-wheel
2.
Drive. Right.
Hello.
There's no way.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, most dogs... I don't know if they wear out or just don't care anymore after like 100 meters.
Right,
they're
not
done.
All endurance runners.
No,
but
they can
man,
all run
sprinting.
Fast as shit.
Yeah.
I've never, even a big fat old dog
that
looks like it should do nothing. You'll throw a ball and it transforms into Flojo. It is gone. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter. I've seen Nicanor's dogs, you know, basset hounds.
Oh, yeah.
And when they decide to run, they're still pretty fast.
Surprisingly fast.
Yeah. I mean, it would be like if you were watching one of these male celebrity chefs, these big fat guys.
Yeah.
It'd be like, who's Diners, Drive-Ins, and Guy Fieri?
Guy Fieri.
If you just saw him, you know, hanging out, and then all of a sudden he just broke into a dead sprint.
Right.
And it was the fastest thing you've ever seen.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
Anyway, so Badger's pretty fast, so I was offended.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the first time I think that someone... talked about my dog and then kind of followed it up with a criticism.
Yeah.
You know, like, whoa.
Well, it's sort of a criticism of you, I felt. Because he's sort of like, you know, it's good
You're
about
right.
him.
He did.
Force
was he
your
implying
love.
That I couldn't run? What? That I couldn't catch him?
Well, I thought it was implying, like, you can kind of force your love on this dog and it
he
cannot
can't get
escape
away?
You. Cannot escape your clutches.
What a jerk.
I know.
And it's, you know, one of the things I hate, though, is, okay, I hate when... people talk to you, but not directly. They're talking to you through someone else.
Yeah. Hey,
like,
son.
Say mom's with a kid and the mom is like telling you something, but really she's just talking to the kid like, oh, aren't I so happy to see my friend? You know, but like talking to the baby and you're like, but I'm right here. Like, just tell me. That's what they do with my dog. They're like, hey, it's a corgi. What a cute corgi. And then I just stand there. I'm like, I have tried different methods.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, well, thanks. Or like, yeah, I know he's cute. Or like, yeah. I just stand there silent. It's so awkward.
Yeah, and it's like, am I supposed to say something?
I mean, not? He's not talking to me.
Yeah, it
he's
feels
weird.
He's
talking to my dog.
Like, they're forcing it. You know what it's like? This has happened to me at work before. There'll be a kid who's like really misbehaving.
Uh-huh.
And then the mom will say something like, you cannot run in here because if you do, that man is going to get you in trouble.
Oh, yeah, that's so awkward.
And I'm always like, fuck you. That's your kid. Like, you can't you just get him in trouble?
Right. Or what they do is they'll be telling the kid, like, no, you can't check this one out. This one's requested.
Yeah.
You know, and then they hand it to me and they're like, isn't it requested? And I'm like,
wink.
Well, technically, yes.
I know. It's like right? these people construct these scenarios so that they don't have to say no. They're like, well, listen, the man's got his finger on the button to launch the nukes at New York City. Remember when we went to New York City and you saw the big Statue of Liberty? And the kid's like, yeah. And he's like, he's going to blow up the whole city. But if you put those Twizzlers back, he's not going to do it.
I mean, yeah, that's...
I saw this on the news. You don't watch the news because you're a little boy. But I know. You know what I mean?
I mean, you should save that for later. Yeah. That one's pretty good.
There's a laser grid over here that, you know, you can't see because you're a kid. But when you turn 18, they give you a surgery that fixes your eyes
one
so you can
you'll
see
be
laser
smart
grids.
Enough to know. Don't worry.
Yeah, I mean,
right now you're still real stupid. So.
You could really fuck up a kid by just lying a lot. About
I mean, yeah,
what's
there's
around.
Lots of ways you can fuck up your kids.
Well, people always talk about, you know, monsters and stuff like that. Uh-huh. Like, oh, my parents said there was a monster. But I feel like the modern version of that is something like, you know, oh, the car is alive.
Right.
Our car can think.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it will eject you if you don't behave.
Uh-huh.
The doors will just open.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay.
It'll crash through your wall of your bedroom.
Yeah.
And get you.
Yeah.
I can't stop it, but I need the car. You can see this is a complicated relationship for me.
Okay.
4-year-old son.
Okay.
All right. I just, the last time we were out together, I hadn't really noticed it before, but the last time, it seemed like 10 people said, Corgi.
Oh my God.
Like they almost Every like, time. They'll be sitting inside, they run out, open the door and point and say, Corgi.
Yeah. It's almost like they're so proud that they know it's a Corgi. Like it's a rare enough breed,
yeah.
But it's one that they recognize that they have to declare it.
Yeah.
Because like you never say like, look, it's a golden, like,
right.
Or hi, lab.
Yeah.
You never do that.
Husky,
hi, Dalmatian.
Saint Bernard.
Hi, Husky. Hi, little greyhound.
Yeah.
You never, I mean, it's like everyone knows what they are.
Yeah.
But my dog is like weird enough, like a Queen's dog.
Yeah.
That, yeah, if someone knows, and apparently everyone knows, they have to...
Right.
What, tell me? I'm not sure if they're showing me that they know it or if they're showing
friends.
The person they're with.
I don't know either.
Or just like showing themselves.
Yeah.
But it's really great because most of the time they'll be like, hey, Corgi. And then they'll make quick eye contact with me just to like clarify, like, I'm right, right?
And
I'm like, yeah.
Pretty good, huh?
You got it.
You know what I do like about it, though? Because for whatever reason, your dog Badger is not really interested in others.
That's the best part.
So they'll be like, oh, Corgi. And
he
they go up to
like
him.
People.
He kind of just like looks away.
Or like he'll like look like he's running to you. He'll kind of like run over to a group of people.
Yeah.
Someone will immediately bend down and be like, hey, buddy. Hey, well, not hey, buddy. Hey, Corgi. And like try and pet him. And he just veers his little head away.
Yeah.
And kind of like brushes his butt maybe, but kind of like walks away and just looks out at the air.
Almost like a cat.
I have to be over here and look over here now.
Yeah. And it's so weird because he doesn't do this with people like in your home.
No.
But strangers.
Strangers.
He's like super uninterested.
Totally
he's not
oblivious.
Afraid.
Yeah.
He just like, he gives them nothing.
Right.
Which is great. It's so satisfying for me when they're like,
it's
Corgi.
A pretty good shutdown.
And then they go up and he's just like, doesn't give a shit.
No, he doesn't.
Because if he got mad and barked, at least the people would be like, oh, that's a crazy dog.
Right.
Or if he was really loving, I'd be like, this is annoying.
Right.
But it's the perfect reaction because it's
just
a zero for
them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, I don't even exist.
Yeah.
This is Dark City.
You're
I don't
right.
even know what's going on.
That is pretty funny, actually.
So I love that.
Yeah.
There's one other thing I really wanted to talk to you about.
Okay.
Urgently.
Oh.
I had this thing. So we went on a road trip and we had these cards that have these questions on them.
Oh, God.
And I felt like your answer to one of them was outstanding. Uh-huh. And I wonder if maybe you would be willing to talk about it a little bit.
Well, sure.
I'm going to read the question.
Okay.
So here we go. You are given the opportunity to create and direct a feature film. The studio offers you a huge budget, provides you with a top-notch writing and technical staff, and allows you to cast whomever you desire in the lead roles. There are essentially no limitations on what this movie can be, except for two. The movie you make has to fulfill the following two criteria. One, it has to be extremely edgy and transgressive. You need to confront taboo social issues. You need to shock people. Ideally, the film will address ideas that have never been tackled by mainstream filmmakers. In fact, if this movie is not the most controversial film of the year, the studio will probably not release it. However, it has to get a PG rating. It cannot be R or even PG-13. There may be limited profanity, minor depictions of violence, and fleeting nudity, but nothing that would prompt the ratings board to go beyond a PG classification. What is the premise and plot of your hypothetical movie? Now, sorry, when we started talking about this, it was like, this is impossible. You know, you were like, I don't know. It could be anything. And
we
talked about Jesus or something for a while.
Right.
And then out of the blue,
yeah,
you came up with a idea.
Peter, I have the answer.
Okay.
The answer.
Okay.
Retarded president.
Retarded president. The answer, and this is, by the way, I've decided not an answer to this. This is the correct answer, retarded president.
Thank you. It's an honor. And, you know, maybe this is sad, but I feel like it is one of the most brilliant, most creative moments of my life. When I turned to you, we were just driving the car and it was quiet. And I said, Peter,
yeah,
I think I have it.
Yeah.
And you were like, what? And I was like, I think I have an answer.
Yeah.
And you're like, what? Retarded president.
And my mind was like, blown.
Yeah, it was like silent in the car again.
I think we talked about it for probably 2 hours.
And then later.
And then the next day, for the rest of the week.
And then the next day. Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about retarded president.
Well, we've planned out a lot of the film, I think. Mm-hmm. And we figured out some of our actors even. Yeah.
Philip Seymour Hoffman as retarded president.
As retarded president. Yeah. But the idea is that somehow we get a president into office.
Right.
And he becomes retarded. I mean, we haven't quite figured that out.
Yeah.
There's some degenerative disease.
Yes.
That makes him retarded.
A coconut falls on his head.
Yeah. Who knows? Something. Yeah. It was like hereditary. And he only realized, you know, when he had a year left that he was going to become retarded. So anyway, the plot of the story is he's up for re-election.
Right.
And is it morally correct to try and replace him with someone not retarded?
Right.
I mean, can a retarded person lead our country?
Right.
And really, I mean, that's what the movie really goes after.
Yes.
Those issues.
Yeah.
The political correctness.
So there's the controversy.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
Right. We've imagined the cover.
Yes.
It's a shot of a man's torso.
Yeah.
I mean, the president's torso.
Right.
So in a suit. Yeah. So you see.
Probably a Navy suit.
A Navy suit. Yeah. Sure. Maybe a red tie.
Yes.
A flag
exactly.
pin.
Yeah.
So it's like from the bottom of his chin to say his waist or so. His arm is in. So there's a whole other thing.
Classic retarded arm.
Retarded
placement.
Arm. Yeah. Yes. Retarded arm placement.
Yeah.
Okay, and he's getting sworn in with his other hand.
Right.
And then there's some drool.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's kind of like a garnish. That's the garnish.
I felt my most proud contribution was I had a great idea for the trailer.
Right.
Opens up and it's like, here to throw out the first pitch, President of the United States.
You love
and
this
people
scene.
Are going nuts.
This is your baby.
And then, you know, they drive him out there in the golf cart.
Sure.
And then the golf cart stops.
And like, you don't know he's retarded yet, right?
Yeah, no one knows.
Right.
This is kind of when he debuts as retarded.
Right, exactly.
And then, you know, it doesn't
so
show his
like
face.
There's like people
or
clapping
anything.
And there's noise in the audience, right? And, you know, he's driving out and there's like president music and stuff.
Yeah,
okay.
And fanfare.
Right.
Then he gets out. And you know, he puts like one foot on the ground mm-hmm. and then he gets out and then he just does complete retarded walk.
Right.
Like retarded shuffle over to the mound and silence.
Right.
People are just jaws dropped.
Yeah.
What is this?
Right. The girl is like chewing gum and her jaw drops. Yeah. And the gum falls out. Yeah.
There's and a guy like, eating a hot dog and he's right. got like mustard it, like, on his face.
And the hot dog just slides out of the bus.
Yeah.
And like there's like an old man and he takes off his hat.
Yeah.
And like holds it up in front of him.
Yeah. No, that's what, yeah, the retarded president gets out there. But then, yeah, people stand up and.
Right.
Yeah. And it's like this fall.
Right.
This president's about to get way more retarded. Something like that.
Well, we thought of a few titles because yeah. we weren't sure if it was retarded best to president. Say retarded president.
Right.
Or if maybe it would be more interesting if we used some other adjective.
Like a euphemism kind of.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I came up with my own euphemism yeah. for retarded. I think that was helpful.
Yeah. The helpful president. Which I wasn't really sure how helpful came to be synonymous with retarded for you.
Just for me.
And also was like, oh, that's really nice because everything my website.
Oh my God, I didn't even realize.
Helpful, everything about that. So I was like, oh, so you think my things are just retarded.
I didn't even make that connection. That's that was fun. Subconscious.
I know. I know. I know. It made it hurt so much more because I knew it wasn't on purpose.
Oh man.
But yeah, I mean, I gotta say, I was very excited by this idea.
Yeah, you were.
I loved it.
Yeah, I was too.
And I think it's like, you know, these are these Chuck Klosterman hypotheticals. Mm-hmm. I think that one can be retired now.
I think so.
Because I have not spoken to anyone who has an even remotely better answer.
No.
Nor, once they hear retarded president, do they disagree on any level with that idea.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They never do.
It's really perfect.
Yeah. Proud of that.
You like it?
Proud.
Good deal. Well, how are you feeling? You've been here about an hour. Do you want to keep going?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Or do you want to leave?
I'm fine.
Okay. I have other guests coming at 3.
Okay.
So we still have time.
That's great.
Great. Well, yeah. So then hang out. Stay a while.
Great.
Pull up a chair.
I have one.
You're in a chair.
Do you want me to have a different chair?
No, that's
fine. This one's fine.
Are you fine with that chair?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I'm on the edge of my seat, literally.
I had kind of a game I wanted to play with everybody.
Oh.
I think I've told you about this scenario 100 times, but we haven't played the game before.
Oh.
I didn't gamify it until the other night.
Okay.
I was in a fever haze, and I was like, this would be really great.
Okay.
So I heard this interview with Margaret Cho, and most of us know who she is. However, most of us have also forgotten that she played sort of like a third banana in the motion picture Face Off. Now, this interview was from, you know, a month before Face Off would premiere or something. Maybe like 6 months. Like, they were just wrapping the filming. It was going to be this big movie. And so she was kind of doing some press stuff for it. But people didn't really know about it. So at one point, the person interviewing her said, so, what's the deal with this movie you're in? This is Face Off. This is Travolta and Nicolas Cage, right? What happens? What's the, give me the beats. And at that point, she was forced to explain what happens in Face Off. Why Face Off is a thing. So I thought the game that would be fun is to ask you to put yourself in Margaret Cho's Korean shoes and say, so tell me, like, give me the gist of Face Off. What happens in this movie that you're in? And also keep in mind, you have to pretend like you think this is a good idea because you're in it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And you want to get more work on weird movies with face transplants or something.
Yeah.
So are you game? Do you feel like you know Face Off well enough?
Well, the thing is, I've only heard about it from you.
Okay. That's okay.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be accurate.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Because her explanation I found very lackluster, maybe partially because I was so excited when this happened and someone said, well, tell me what the movie's about, that I was like, wow.
Yes.
This is an incredible scenario. I love this. Explain this. Explain yourself and your life choices, please. So Are you ready?
Okay.
Okay. So, Margaret, just give us the beats. What's this? What is this movie about? You know, sell it to me a little bit so everyone at home will go see. Face Off. Okay. It's a hockey?
No.
Okay.
No.
Sorry, go ahead.
It's two of Hollywood's best actors, Nicolas Cage and John Travolta. Okay. I'm not sure why you're laughing. Two of Hollywood's most renowned actors.
Okay. Most renowned hairlines.
Switching roles.
Okay.
Facing off.
I
say switching roles, they're literally switching faces.
So it's like John Travolta's face on Nicolas Cage's body.
I don't.
Why?
It's a hard one to grasp.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's hard to put it in so many words.
Is this in the future?
Maybe.
Of sorts? I mean,
it's present day, future.
Okay.
Something in between.
One of those movies where it's like everything's
a future
normal,
not so far away.
Okay. Total Recall?
Maybe.
Future?
I don't know.
Where you're like, they still ride the shitty subway, but they also go to Mars.
I don't think that's important.
Okay.
The setting is less important
than,
this is the first time it's ever been done in a film.
That's probably true.
Maybe
I can't.
No
say
one
for
will
sure.
ever do it again either.
That seems also likely.
The last time, the only time.
Only time filmmakers have been brave enough to try this.
Yes.
So I can go into this movie and expect to see two of my most beloved stars.
Beloved.
Okay. Beloved stars.
Way, fine, yeah.
I'll, you know, that's fine.
Okay.
You're Margaret Cho.
I'm Margaret Cho.
Most
I'm an expert
beloved
on this.
Stars being each other.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for playing the game today.
Yeah, my pleasure.
I plan to ask every guest who comes in to participate in this game.
I look forward to hearing their thoughts.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. Mm-hmm. You and I have... do you want to favor us with any Christmas songs?
I would love to.
Okay. I don't want to spoil anything.
Right.
So I think maybe I should just, you know, kind of let you go.
We're singers here, the two of us.
And I kind of wanted to record maybe like 10 seconds of a few different songs and make a commercial for a Christmas album.
Yeah.
So this is a great opportunity to do that. I think that I really enjoyed, and I am going to have to try not to laugh, your rendition of Rudolph, which begins with the calling out of the reindeer names.
That one is so good.
Do you feel up for that?
I think so.
Okay.
I will say I'm a little shy.
That's okay.
I mean, once I get started, I might warm up to it, but
yeah.
I'm a little
Do you
want to
start with something else?
Maybe.
A little more comfortable?
That one's real good.
What's,
I don't want to waste it.
What's one that you're... that you feel, you know, pretty confident that'll help you feel comfortable?
Well, I mean, we could start off with Jingle Bells. That one's pretty easy, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
I'm ready. I wish I had some, you know, music.
Music?
Yeah.
So it's not a cappella?
Yeah, but that's okay. Do you want me to do music?
I don't know.
Ding, 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 ding.
I don't know. That might throw me off.
Okay. You just go.
Okay.
I'm going to try not to laugh or make you laugh.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Allison.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey! Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
That was great. That's exactly what I'm talking about. That sounded great.
Thanks.
All right. I'm ready. I think you should just jump into Rudolph.
All right, we'll
do
it.
I think that if you do that, then you'll be
good to go.
Halfway through it, you're going to be like all the way there.
Okay.
Complete with, I'd like the jazzy version, if you've got that in you.
Yeah,
that
was my favorite. I know. Yeah, it was your favorite. Okay.
Okay. I'm ready.
On Dasa, on Dansa, on Planta, on Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donna, on Blitzen. But do you recall the most famous reindeer of all? Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer had a very tiny nose, and if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows like a white bulb. All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. They never wet Paul Rudolph joining any reindeer games. Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, Rudolph, your nose so bright, won't you guide my sway tonight? Then all the reindeer loved him as they sat it out with glee. Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer, you'll go down in history.
Thank you. I love that.
I'm glad.
That makes my whole holiday a little better.
I love bringing smiles to people's faces.
My whole holiday has improved already.
Great.
I feel a lot better about the impending doom of the holiday.
I mean, I guess that's nice to hear.
How do you feel about Christmas in general? Are you a Christmas person?
I love Christmas.
You love it?
I love it.
What do you love about it?
I think because it's so, I mean, I think it's because it's a time of year that's special. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because a lot of it for me is based on my family.
Yeah.
And like, you know, remembering every year things that we did together.
Yeah.
I just think it's nice. It's a nice feeling for me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not really so much about the presents, but like.
Sure. Yeah. As you get older, Christmas presents become less exciting.
Yeah.
I mean, it becomes less about that because it doesn't.
Yeah. I mean, whatever. You buy stuff that you want.
Is there any, because I feel like I'm not a rich man, but if there was something I really wanted, yeah. You know what I mean? Like when I was a kid, I really wanted a Sega Genesis. Mm-hmm. There's no fucking way I could have ever
right.
got one.
You needed, yeah. But, you needed other people to supply that for you.
Yeah. But today, I mean, I feel like most things that I really want, I mean, I'm not going to be. Yeah. I
yeah,
can't buy
exactly.
a Bugatti Veyron, but if I wanted an Xbox, let's say, I could.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's part of the problem.
Yeah.
Maybe I just need to start asking for sports cars.
I mean, I think I like Christmas because part of it is cozy.
Yeah.
I like that feeling.
It's a very sort of like you just sit around and drink cocoa time.
Yeah, with like blankets.
Yeah.
And they're snuggling.
I do like the winter.
You do?
A lot.
You do.
I love it.
Yeah.
I don't really, I'm not a big Christmas man. Have I told you about some of my Christmases?
I don't think so.
I've had some pretty bad Christmas.
Oh, okay.
You know, like, so my parents split when I was young.
Yeah.
Which was fine. And everyone's like, you get two Christmases, but it's no good because my parents were dumb. And they were like, we should, you know, you'll have the kids until noon and then you swap houses.
Oh.
So that like takes out all that cozy part. That yeah. fun, cozy 101.
Right.
Where you're like, we're just hanging out in our pajamas.
Right.
So you're like, I got to go over to my
right.
dad's
if you're
house
on a
now.
Clock, that's,
yeah.
That's kind of, yeah.
Well, it's weird because then you get to your dad's house, but there's two other kids there and they already did most of their Christmas. Because,
oh.
of course, I mean, what,
right.
they can't wait till
Christmas
noon.
Morning, yeah.
And, but then, you know, so my mom was pretty good about Christmas stuff. She was always, you know, into that. I mean, I think that, probably her only Grinchy thing she ever did was that she, you know, basically disavowed us of Santa pretty early.
Mm-hmm.
But she always explains it. She's very defensive about it because she's like, I didn't make a lot of money, so I had to save to get you nice things for Christmas.
Yeah.
And I wanted you guys to know that yeah. I say, you know, so that was fine.
Right.
So she kind of kept the Christmas spirit going for quite a while. But then at my dad's house, things were not so great. Once he was in the midst of his second divorce, and it was Christmas Eve when we discovered he had not made any sort of Christmas purchases or plans.
Oh, God.
So he took us to Kmart.
Oh, no.
And was like, you guys can pick out some stuff. And it was like, I don't know. I mean, I guess this was before people shopped online and stuff. There was like nothing there.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I was like in that weird, probably like 12, 13 phase,
yeah,
where what do you get? I mean, it's like you're a little old for toys,
right,
but you're not quite old enough to be like, I want a, you know, if you have a Discman,
right,
that's really the only.
Yeah, you're not going to get practical things.
No. Yeah, I'm not like, I could use an oven
that
mitt.
That is weird. What would you pick? I mean, yeah.
Well, luckily for me, I was into action figures way too late into life.
Oh, okay.
So I found some action figures, but they were like the shitty ones.
Yeah.
Because you know what they always have? A Batman movie, a Spider-Man, perfect example, will come out, a Spider-Man movie. But then they're like, well, we don't want to just release Spider-Man. We want people to buy five different toys.
Mm-hmm.
So there'll be a Spider-Man, which is the one you want.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's Spider-Man who has some kind of weird backpack that makes noises.
Okay.
That one's okay. Then they'll have like, you know, Arctic Spider-Man. And he's all blue and has like a coat.
Oh,
and you're like, this is getting pretty specific. I'll always remember they had these Batman toys, and I always was looking for the regular. They had these Justice League toys, but they were like halfway between toys and statues. So that was perfect for me since I was into action figures too late.
Right. Because
I could just be like, these are like statues. They're not toys. Yeah. And then I, when people left, I'd be like, take this out and play with it. So, you know, I always looked for Batman because I was like, where is Batman? They had a million of, I think, who are the shittiest ones? Cyborg.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, I think there's a lot of Hawkmen.
Mm-hmm.
Never had Batman. Except they had these weird alternative Batmans. There's like an aquatic Batman.
Weird.
And I was like, fuck that shit. Yeah, all he needs is a scuba tank.
Right.
Or to hold his breath.
Right.
He's Batman. He doesn't like be like, I better wear a special outfit to go on this trip, you know? So I got like an Iron Man guy, and he had this weird extra armor that you could put on him, but then, you know, the slightest nudge, it would break apart in a million pieces.
Mm.
And a Spider-Man with a similar thing. Which I was like, Spider-Man doesn't wear armor, but fine. These are what I got. I picked out for myself. I mean, my older brother was even worse. He had no idea. He got like a barrel of monkeys.
Oh.
Yeah, and some just crap, you know what I mean? And then my little brother and sister, I think, were a little better off, but not much. But then we get home, and it's Christmas Eve, and then so we'd all picked out our own stuff and watched him purchase it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get home, and my dad like says to my sister, you know, why don't you come watch this Christmas movie or something? And then he like runs back downstairs, and he's like, you guys need to wrap all the gifts.
Oh.
And we're like, why? We already know what they are. And he's like, well, your sister still believes in Santa.
Oh, God.
And I was like, I don't mean to be parenting here.
Right.
But I feel like she's going to know. She picked it out yesterday.
Yeah.
You might be able to pull off this scheme if you did it like 3 months ago. Maybe they wouldn't remember.
Yeah.
But, and she was like five.
Yeah.
You know, so then we were sitting there and I mean, a 12-year-old boy, if you want to see a shittily wrapped Christmas present.
Oh, God, yeah, give it to a 12-year-old boy.
Yeah. We wrapped them all like taffy.
Oh,
so you take a roll and roll it up and then scrunch the ends, you know. It looked like we were all getting footballs.
Oh, yeah.
And so then, you know, we do all that and then go to bed and wake up the next morning and unwrap.
What you wrapped?
The things we wrapped and picked out from ourselves.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
It was a pretty shitty Christmas.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. The next year's Christmas was like really even more pathetic.
Oh, okay.
Because we stayed over there. And, you know, I got up and it was late because I knew there was no tree, no nothing.
Right.
And then we go into the kitchen. I went in the kitchen and was like talking to my dad. He was like making some kind of breakfast and was like, so are there Christmas stuff going on today, or is this what's going on, you know? And he was like, oh, I didn't even think about that.
What?
And then he took out his wallet and he gave some cash that he had in his wallet.
Oh,
but it was
clearly,
you know, it's not like when your grandma gives you a crisp 20.
No.
It was like $25.
Right.
And then he's like, and figure out how to split that with your brother later, you know?
Oh, man.
And I was just like, wow.
I didn't know that happens in real life.
That was a real Christmas.
That's awful.
Yeah. It was weird, too, because his mom came for Christmas.
So
my grandma.
She was planning on it.
I would have thought there was something.
Right.
I would think if I was a bad dad and then my mom showed up, I'd be like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
And at least something.
Pretend maybe.
Good Lord.
Not that bad.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was weird. Shoot. He was not like a poor man.
Right.
You know what I mean? He was doing quite well financially at the time. So it wasn't that.
Oh, that's a real bummer.
Know. Yeah. Those were some shit Christmases. I gotta say.
Well, all right.
Pretty lame.
Right.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
You can take those memories with you now.
Yeah.
Now I've unburdened myself.
Thank you.
And given it to you.
Yeah.
It's like, what is that, trolls? Where they hit you with a stick and then you become a troll?
I don't know. Sure.
Yeah. So anyway, the Christmas magic for me, suffice to say, is not as magical.
Mm-hmm.
Although, I mean, we didn't get... There was... The worst was my little sister's birthday. It was her birthday, and I think my dad, I don't know how he remembered. We were at the grocery store, though. So he was like, well, we got to get her something for her birthday. So we picked out something like Twinkies or something like that.
Oh, gosh.
Which I was like, well, I mean, it's not really a birthday present, but it's from the grocery store.
Right.
It's something.
Kind of what you can do.
She would probably at least enjoy. And then he got her a large bottle of barbecue sauce.
What? Why?
I mean, I guess she enjoyed barbecue sauce as much as ketchup.
Yeah.
You know? So that was her gift. I guess that was her barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
And then he brought that stuff home and just gave it to her.
Happy birthday.
And then she was crying.
Yeah.
And we were trying to be like, it's not that bad.
Oh.
But we were like, it's pretty bad.
That's real sad.
It was terrible.
Hmm.
So that was she got the worst one that I remember.
Yeah.
Because I got to say, I mean, actually, if someone brought me a bottle of special barbecue sauce for my birthday today, I'd be pretty excited.
Well, right.
But
special barbecue sauce.
When I was 7.
That's not what you want.
No, I think I'd rather get nothing. You know what I mean?
Yes, I think so.
Because it goes from my dad forgot about my birthday to my dad does not understand me as a human.
Right.
At all.
It's like he chose not to get me a good present.
Yeah, it's like we've never met, really.
Yeah.
And he's just like, get something for a 7-year-old. And he's
well,
like,
that's
I know
thoroughly
nothing.
Depressing. I mean, I'm glad you got that out.
We could talk about, we should talk about something else.
Okay.
Let's move on.
All right.
We went to IKEA
a
couple weeks ago.
We
this was
did.
Your first ever IKEA.
Yeah.
How was your IKEA experience?
It was nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. The place is big.
It's gigantic.
It's kind of overwhelming.
We ate breakfast there.
Yeah, I wanted cake, but they weren't serving cake yet.
Yeah, which is bizarre because...
Why are they operating on, like, a time schedule?
Well, and also, because it's like airplane food, and it's like an airplane-style tray and everything.
Yeah.
So it seems very 24/7.
Yeah.
And also, there's no sense to me where it was like, oh, we want you to eat a nutritious food.
No.
Because the food...
Right, it's not like they're preparing the cake. I mean, it's in a box or something.
Yeah.
Just take it out. Put it in the little glass case.
There was bacon on this tray that I don't even understand how...
It's like tissue paper.
It was so thin and weird tasting.
Right. Oh.
I ate 3 pieces stacked on top of each other, and that was a reasonable facsimile of almost a piece of bacon.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's as close as it got.
And then they had French toast sticks.
French toast sticks, yep.
Those were
about how I remembered.
Yeah.
I mean, they also had scrambled eggs.
Yeah.
Which I think was a mistake.
They had chocolate bars.
Chocolate bars.
Yeah.
They also had this great situation. You get in line and you have a tray, like a cafeteria. But they had these little buggies where you could load the trays on them and have like a three levels of tray.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I guess if you had 3 people,
Right.
You could push their tray around. So, of course, I took one of those.
You did.
I wanted the full experience.
You made a big show out of it.
Yeah. We were with other friends, and I yelled at them across the thing to ask if they wanted to put their trays on my buggy.
Yeah.
Because who knows?
They ignored you.
They did. I think that was the beginning of them ignoring me most of the day.
They did ignore you most of the day.
Yeah. Which is reasonable.
I don't know. I think that was the wildest stunt you pulled, though.
Yeah. I think I was pretty well behaved.
Yeah.
I had a little run-in in the bathroom because I went in. I was a little confused. I went in to the bathroom, and there was a woman cleaning in there.
Oh,
like mopping.
Weird. Right.
You know, and she was like facing the wall away from me.
Uh-huh.
And there was no like, don't come in this bathroom thing.
Right.
And I was confused about like, well, can I just start peeing? I don't really mind peeing while she's in there.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to pee. I hate peeing in the bathroom right when someone finishes cleaning because that feels like, thanks for cleaning this. I'm now going to urinate all over.
Right.
And also being a lady.
Right. I mean, would she mind?
Yeah. How would she feel? But also I was like, well, she's at work. Mm-hmm. I got to pee. I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
So I just peed.
Okay.
And she continued mopping. Mm. And then when I turned around, she was gone. So I don't know if she fled the bathroom while I was in there. What would you say is the protocol? Imagine you work at IKEA and you're mopping the men's bathroom.
I can't even imagine that.
Just imagine it.
When it's open, I wouldn't put a sign out. I mean, that's weird. I mean, I think I would be like hyper aware that I was in a men's urinary facility.
Yeah.
I would not want to be in there, you know, as a surprise.
Yes.
If people could potentially walk in on me.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm planning ahead.
Yeah.
I'm not going to find myself in that situation.
You know, at work every night, I have to like knock on the bathroom doors and make sure there's no one in there.
Sure. Yeah.
Precaution.
I do that too.
Uh-huh. So, you know, I have to go in the ladies' bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And one time I usually knock, open the door, say we're closing, turn off the lights, and then walk in. Because I figure turning off the light, someone will say like, hey, I'm in here.
Right.
So I did this and then I start walking and suddenly realize there is a woman in one of the stalls as I'm walking past. And I was like, oh, God damn it.
Right.
And I know it's weird. Like if you were on the toilet and someone's like,
weird.
We're closing and you're,
and you're like,
okay,
I'm in the toilet.
I'm taking a dump.
Yeah, that would be weird. It's almost like you just want to like pretend you're not there and hope he leaves.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe they'll just close and then I'll just let myself out.
And then I'll run out.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
What can you do?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I felt for her, but also I was like, that turned into a real awkward situation for me because then I had to wait at the front door to let her out.
Oh.
I was like,
yeah, you were in there.
I was in there while you were there.
Yeah.
Remember that?
You both knew what was going on.
That was terrible.
There.
And she was kind of a regular.
Oh.
So I saw her a lot.
Yeah, that's awkward.
And I was like, oof, God. Yeah. But so now I take it slow on the women's one.
Uh-huh.
You know, I knock real loud, then open the door.
Right.
Then yell.
Flash the lights.
Turn the lights off.
I'm shutting the door now.
I am now entering the restroom. Stall one. Stall two. Please speak if you are in here. I think there was another time I've run into a bunch of guys, like they'll be washing their hands when I go in there. That's weird too.
Yeah.
It just feels weird because you're like, I know what you just did in there.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
People always, though, they wait until the last minute.
To go pee?
Yeah.
I know.
There was a guy, he was there with his, I don't know if it's his sister.
What is wrong with people who wait until the last minute to like do all the shit that they have to get done?
I don't know.
They're like browsing for 40 minutes and then they're like, oh crap, I got to check these out. It's 8 o'clock.
It's right the time.
Oh, and since I don't have a card, I have to get a card.
Yeah.
And I have to send a fax.
And I want directions to Johnny Carino's.
Jesus.
There was a guy. So this guy comes in a lot. Real nice guy. And he comes in with his sister. And he's a large gentleman. Like real large.
Large. What do you mean when you say large?
Big fat.
Ah.
Like real fat.
Okay.
So we're closing and they're heading out. It's like 1 minute till we close. He decides to make a trip to the bathroom. And this turns in. And so his sister's kind of sitting on this bench that's right outside the bathroom.
Okay.
This turns into like a 10-minute ordeal.
Oh, no.
He's in there. She's outside. She starts like opening the door and yelling at him to hurry up.
Oh, God.
You know what I mean?
That's
and he's in there doing whatever he's doing.
Right.
Which probably unfairly, I imagined being demolishing the bathroom because he's a big fat guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
and it was taking so long. Yeah. Like, yeah, just a quick pee. Oh, really shouldn't take this long. And then, you know, and she's like, I am so sorry. And she's like, hurry up in there. Yeah. What are you doing? You know, they're trying to go home. Oh, and God. Everyone's standing out there, too.
Oh, that's so awkward.
I know. And I was like, this sucks for him. Sucks for her. Sucks for me.
Yeah.
Everyone's in a bad position.
Right.
And then he has to come out and everyone's standing there with their coats
it's
on and
the
stuff.
Guy.
Yeah, it's like, oh, that's the shitter.
He was the one in the bathroom for 10 minutes.
That was the guy shitting for a really long time that we were waiting on. You know.
Not a good moment.
No, but I was like, that guy, I mean, if it came down to doing that or crapping his pants, fine.
Well, sure.
But if it was going to be a close call,
yeah.
Shoot for home, man.
Right.
You'll probably make it.
Right.
I mean, I haven't been super close to crapping myself in a long time. I can't even remember being like, I might shit myself.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I've had some pee close calls.
Sure.
But whatever, man.
Yeah, we all.
Yeah. But, and this is the thing that bothers me, all right? You got to pee so bad that you're like, well, the place is closed, but I got to go pee anyway.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you have had to have peed for the last 10 minutes?
Right.
I mean, no, you're going to need to pee real soon.
Right.
Make an extra effort to get out on time.
Yeah. It's a stumper.
You're like, I'm going to have to stop and take this pee.
Right. Yeah.
I just don't get it.
Yeah. If you have to pee bad enough that you have to do it right now.
Yes.
I mean, there's a whole curve where to get up to that high point. Yeah.
Yeah. I gotta get this pee out. What am I going to do? I just don't understand. You know what another thing people do? We have drinking fountains on the way out. Everybody stops to get a goddamn, you know, we'll be closed, the lights are off.
What is
I'm
that
holding
about?
The door
right.
in a sort of passive aggressive sign of like, I'm locking this immediately after you go.
You know what I don't understand? The people who take the longest to get out of the building are always the ones who, after we're closed.
Yeah.
Are browsing the community events.
Yeah.
Looking
at the senior voice.
Like they're really
magazine.
Trying, like they're doing a test with themselves to see how late they can get out of this building.
Right. Right. I always wonder, I'm like, what's going on at their home?
Right.
That they're like, I gotta
right, they're avoiding
waste so
home.
Much time.
One more minute.
You know what's so funny? I was just talking about this idea I had the other day. Because I've thought about this on some level with fishing, but golf really hit. Now that I've golfed, and now that I'm a golfer of sorts.
Now that I've golfed.
I understand this is a gigantic time suck.
Golfing?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I would say on your average day of golfing, you have to get up, drive like an hour to a place.
I don't think that's the norm.
Let's say half hour.
Okay.
Drive a half hour. Get there, you sit around forever waiting for everyone else to show up, and the actual golfing takes like 4 hours.
Right.
Not even exaggerating. Oh, maybe God. You have a lunch afterwards
right.
at the clubhouse.
Right.
Beer.
You're just trying to be away from your wife, I guess.
I think those people who, the more into golf you are, the more you're avoiding your home.
Yeah.
Because there's no reason
well, I think it might be a relaxing long. Thing too, you know?
But couldn't you just walk around?
Well, yeah, but... I don't know.
I mean, I agree. It's relaxing, but I think it's because people want to get away. They're running from something.
Well, and maybe.
Here's the thing like golf, I think. Golf is an activity where you can be like, I'm going golfing, and people who don't golf aren't going to be like, oh, I'd like to come with you. I want to check this out.
Mm-hmm.
Most people are pretty much golfers or hate golf.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or have no interest in golf.
Right. You're either not a golfer. You never want to go to golf. Yeah.
And then fishing, I feel the same way.
Yeah.
You're like, all right, I got all this crap I got to get ready.
Right,
wake up at the crack of dawn.
Right.
Drive an hour to some
but
river.
I think the idea with that is sometimes there's a product.
Yeah. The fish.
I mean, what is your point here?
My point is, I think there are a lot of these activities that I never understood before.
Okay.
Because I'm like, you know, golf, that's your whole day.
Yeah.
Fishing is your whole day,
right.
really. And like the things that I consider negatives, like you have to drive to this stream that's an hour away.
Well, what about like hiking then? I mean, you have to, that's a whole thing. You have to like drive to a place really early and then you're just like walking uphill for a long time
and
then you're at the top and then you walk back down and you go home.
Yeah.
I mean, I think a lot of things people do for fun. It's not like...
Oh, yeah. Here's what I think is different to me. Like hiking, I don't know a lot of people who hike every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Or a lot of times people who hike go with like their spouse or something.
Oh, okay.
But like fishing, you'll just see some guy
doing it
in
alone.
A river.
I like the idea of fishing though.
Just
I think that's
in
why
general.
I'm fighting you on this whole thing.
All right.
Golf, I'm with you on.
Fishing, at least
fishing,
I can see you're
like
in
that.
Nature.
Yeah, nature.
And I could see it as being a relaxing way to
right.
be away from
yeah,
your hectic
exactly.
life.
Right, exactly.
But
golf, yeah, is different.
Well,
golf
it's so
is not
expensive,
really nature.
And it's like you dress like an idiot.
Right.
And the other people there are douches.
You're just standing around most of the time.
You are standing around so much.
Yeah.
This is another thing. Like, if people who are really into watching football,
mm-hmm.
I feel like it's a similar situation.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason an NFL game should be over 4 hours.
Yeah.
But it is.
Right.
And I think it's because, you
oh,
know, people like it that
time.
Way. People want to kill all of Sunday and have their time. And for here's the thing with golf and football and fishing and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it'd be acceptable for most people to say, I want to get away from my family for like all of Sunday.
Right.
That would be a weird thing to say.
Okay.
But if you say, I'm going to go watch the game
right.
with my buddies at Buffalo Wild Wings,
right.
it's like, that's
oh,
healthy.
That
that's
sounds
great.
Normal. Sure.
You know what I mean?
I get what you're
it's
saying.
It's like all a mask.
Good point.
I'm sure there are real golfers and fishermen who that's like their thing.
Yeah.
But I think there are a lot of like
it's hiding
escapers.
Another problem.
Or, you know what I think the lady version of this can be?
Oh.
Gardening.
Oh.
I think there are legitimate gardeners,
uh-huh.
but I think there are also some people who get into their gardens and stuff
so
a lot because they're outside away from things.
Yeah.
I think everything's just escaping things. It's very
I
weird.
Guess. That sounds a real sad way of putting it.
It is sad.
You're real depressing.
Well, no, it's not. I'm not trying to make it sad. I just think people should be honest.
Oh.
And be like, I just need a little time to myself.
Right.
Every so often.
I guess.
Like, why can't they just talk to their family and be like, I love you guys, but like, if I could get 4 hours to myself on Sunday, that
yeah.
would be awesome. And that
yeah.
would really, I think I would be happier.
A little more honesty.
You guys would be happier.
Do everybody a little good.
I think so, right?
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm tired of the facade.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's all.
Okay.
It's sort of, you know, like high school kids, right?
Uh-huh.
We'll go camping.
Uh-huh.
And I never understood this when I was in high school because I was busy with these action figures and didn't
okay.
understand.
Yeah, Lil Pete.
Yeah, Lil Pete was like, why would you go camping? That's boring. There's nothing to do. And
you
then
smoke and drink around a fire.
Exactly.
And it's real dark.
And sleep
and you can,
next to someone of a different
sneak
sex.
Sneak away. No one
yes.
knows if you're sleeping
or vomit
making
in the woods.
Out.
Or yeah.
yeah,
I mean,
sure.
it turns into a free-for-all.
Yeah.
Now, for some reason, I think there are a lot of parents who, if you said, I'm going to go spend the night at my girlfriend's house, they'd be like, you're out of your fucking mind.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're like, I'm going camping
with
Dave and Bill
yeah.
and maybe some other people.
Yeah.
They're like,
oh,
okay, that's fun. Yeah.
Sure.
You
yeah.
can't, you can only get in so much trouble.
I mean, yeah.
So I think that it's like, that's the teen version
okay.
to me.
Sure.
This has been Pete's Opinion Hour. Stable talk. Real talk. You know? Getting real political
yeah.
on the radio here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You got a lot of thoughts to share.
I have so much to share with the world.
You have so much to share.
You know what? Getting all the way back to IKEA. You know what the problem
right.
is I have with IKEA? I always go there with some things in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you go there and you're looking for stuff, I think it's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
If you're, like, I was like, I need some frames. Mm-hmm. And I've got these frames.
You do. I noticed all these frames on your
yeah.
wall.
Yeah. What do you think?
Looks good.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So I, you know, nicened my life a little.
Yeah.
But then also you get there and all of a sudden start looking at things like, maybe I do need this.
Uh-huh.
You know, weird
well,
stuff.
Well, they have everything.
I know.
And I mean, it's such a good trick because the first, what, quarter of it
yeah.
is rooms.
Yes. It's like a
walk
whole
into.
Room.
And it's like, you want that room so bad.
Oh my God.
They make it so easy for you to get it.
I know. They're like,
dangerous.
You can have this life.
Yeah.
This could be your, you're
this
standing in
you.
There. And you know what's funny too? I'll be in those rooms sometimes, like the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And then if some other couple walks in there, I'm a little like,
whoa,
what are you guys doing?
You don't
get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. This isn't your style.
You can't
room.
Be in
You're
here.
Next door.
You can just walk into here. Yeah. Idiot. Like, I get real territorial about.
Don't you know how to knock?
Yeah.
Right.
This is a private thing I'm having. I'm having a private fantasy about living here the rest of my life.
Yeah.
You know, and they all look so good.
They all
The rooms
look
are
good.
Like so stylish and cool.
But then they have so much other crap, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they'll have weird candle holders.
I bought cookie cutters there.
I bought a lantern.
Well, I did too.
Yeah. This is what I'm saying. I needed these frames, but then the allure of the place.
What am I going to do with
a lantern? I don't know. I set mine on a thing.
I don't know what to do with mine.
Yeah.
I want to hang it, but I don't.
Where?
Where do I hang
it? I don't
it?
Own an old train car. I have nowhere to put it.
I feel like I'm in The Hobbit.
Right.
Like I should be carrying this outside when I'm walking Badger around.
Yeah, while wearing a cape.
The light's guiding my way.
Yeah.
Hello.
To Mordor or wherever the Hobbit went. He went to some mountain, didn't he? Mount Doom?
Well, there's a dragon.
There was a dragon. He went
I
somewhere.
I don't remember.
Found the ring somewhere. Because doesn't he find the ring towards the end?
I just remember there were big spiders.
There's all kinds of shit.
Yeah. And trolls or
trolls.
Something.
Did you know that Denny's has a special Hobbit menu right now?
I heard that.
It looks so crazy.
I mean, I'm only imagining that it's like regular Denny's food with like Hobbit words in the title.
They have some of them are like that. You
okay.
know, there's one that's like a skillet and it's like the Hobbit skillet.
Okay.
And you're like, all right.
Well, what's the other stuff?
There's one thing that's like a fried egg inside of a cheese bun of some kind.
Oh.
That's like a special thing.
Okay.
There's some kind of wizard food.
What do wizards eat? I didn't think
apparently
they ate
it's like a sandwich that's got like turkey and cranberry and stuff. It's like a
Thanksgiving sandwich. Is that like wizard holiday?
And fries with gravy on them.
Gross.
This is what wizards
it's like Canadian
eat.
Canadian Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Is what wizards
I think
are about.
Canadians could be wizards for all I know. All of
it's
them.
True.
This could be where it originated.
Yeah.
They have some kind of like French toast sticks, but they're in balls.
Oh,
Hobbit
gosh.
Ball format.
Hobbit balls.
Yeah. There's some kind of velvet cake thing too, I think. Red
I don't
velvet
know.
Cake. Which,
I'm not convinced.
Yeah. You're not convinced of what Denny's commitment to the lore of J.R.R. Tolkien.
So lame.
It's such a weird... I don't know how... Who does
who
Denny's call...
Who thought that was a great idea for them to work together?
I have no idea. They're like, you know what? I mean, if I made some great product and then Denny's is like, we want to make a special menu, I'd be like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Like, real companies don't do... It's not like, oh, the iPhone comes out. We have a special Apple breakfast where everything's Apple-related, which would even kind of make sense.
Yeah.
Apple pancakes and stuff. You'd be like, well, that sort of works. But they don't do that because Apple is like, no, we just like do our stuff and make our money via our stuff that's legitimate.
Yeah.
We don't have to do this crazy shit all the time.
Yeah.
Do you want to go to Denny's later?
No.
Okay. I don't even know if there's a Denny's here.
I don't either.
Is Village in Denny's?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I don't know.
It might as well be.
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
How you feeling?
I'm all right.
You're right?
Yeah.
Are we done? Should we close out this section?
Whatever.
Or do you want to keep going?
Whatever.
I got to pee.
Okay.
So here's the thing. We could close it out, or if you want to just kind of like keep things rolling for 2 minutes.
Oh, talking on my own?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
You could bring up your own hot topics.
That's all right.
I could ask you an advice type question that you could answer.
I can't make this decision right
okay.
now.
Okay. Why don't I ask you a question? I have this great book that's all about advice.
Okay.
And, you know, the advice is in here, but I won't ask you I won't tell you that. You can come up with your own answer.
Okay.
Do you want to answer a question about turtles or talking to plants? Or just anything?
Okay.
Let's see. I'm just going to say this.
Hit me.
Dear Allison.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what to do this weekend. Got any ideas?
Oh, boy.
How do you like that one?
I mean, sure.
I'd rather ask you this one, actually.
Okay.
And then you can go to that one if you run out.
Okay. Back up.
Dear Allison, Will learning to juggle increase my chances with the ladies?
That's
Ralph
a great
from
question.
Toledo, Ohio. So you think about that.
Well, Ralph.
I'll be right back.
From Toledo. So you're curious if juggling is going to help you with the ladies. And I'm going to say no. Because I'm going to use myself as an example of a lady. And I guess a girl can be into a guy for a lot of different reasons. And him being his own character, being his own person is really what's going to do it. If you're real passionate about juggling, you know, if this is your thing, if this is what you think about when you're, you know, getting ready for bed and what you wake up to in the morning and you're like, I can't wait to get these scarves and practice my juggling or these balls or, you know, these torches, then sure. Do it, because maybe that would help you find maybe another juggler lady or a lady who appreciates showmen. But if you're just looking for something to help you, no, don't do juggling. Juggling is not really a manly thing. It's kind of a weird thing, in the group of like carnivals and unicycles. I'm not into a guy who juggles. Could just say that.
So, like, learning to juggle would be a waste of time if you're just looking to pick up ladies?
Yeah.
What about this? What if, I kind of think it's a mistake to do some novelty thing for the sake of trying to pick up ladies.
Right. I think so, too.
If you want to get a dog, get a dog.
Right.
But I don't think this whole, like, I'm going to get a puppy and walk it around...
I mean,
as
girls,
a conversation starter.
I think girls, or at least the girls worth getting, are pretty smart.
Yeah.
And you're not going to trick them.
Yeah.
You know? And if you do think you're tricking them, really you're not tricking them, and they find something else rewarding about you.
Right.
So it's not even worth the extra effort.
Yeah. You know what the ultimate example I think of that is?
Yeah.
Abs.
Oh.
Like, if you got abs just because that's what you do, that's probably fine.
Right.
But if you got abs because you're like, I'm going to get ladies with these abs.
I mean, that's
weird.
It's
probably a bad investment of time.
Yeah, a guy who's showing off his abs thinking it's going to win him a date.
Yeah.
I don't like his abs.
Yeah.
I'm not into it.
Doesn't matter.
But, you know, if a guy's got abs, sure, I love it.
Fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Unfortunately, the abs are attached to this whole body and brain that came up with the idea of abs. He's like, I bet if I had abs... I would get a lot of babes.
That's an interesting example that you use.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I just find it such an odd thing. You know what I think is really weird about abs to me? Like, humans have always had these muscles. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone has these muscles under, you know, the
under
layers
there.
Of skin or whatever.
Sure.
I mean, it's like everyone has a bicep.
Right.
It's just a different size or whatever. It's like there's no such thing as not having a bicep.
I will say that this shirt that you gave me is pretty great because it shows off my biceps.
Yeah, well, you're ripped.
Yeah.
I was saying that for guys. If girls want to get ripped to get guys, I think that's a pretty good idea.
Really?
Eh.
Wait.
No, not really.
No, okay. All right.
I think if a girl is medium ripped, it won't hurt.
Well, I think
but
that's
if you
true
start thinking, like, I'm going to do a pose off and get tans, then you're going to be...
Too far.
Yeah, it's going to be weird.
Cross the line.
I have this Facebook friend who... does these contests.
I've got this Facebook friend.
I feel like everything that I come up with of horrible example of humanity, I'll then lead in with, I got this Facebook friend who does exactly... She really does. She does these contests and stuff.
Uh-oh.
Oof. She puts the pictures on.
Ooh.
And you're like, everything that I understand on paper, you're like, oh, this is a really fit lady. You know, and she's in a bikini.
Yeah.
This should be so attractive.
No.
It's not attractive.
No, it's
at
not.
All. It's
I mean,
really
the guys
bizarre.
Aren't either.
No, the guys are weird looking. Yeah, too ripped.
I mean, you have to be somewhere between, like, you know.
Yeah.
Regular.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to be pretty close to regular.
Yeah.
I think.
I read this article once about a guy who was, like, Mr. Ripped Diverse, Mr. Universe.
Mr. Ripped Diverse.
Yeah. It's for diverse races to all have a muscle contest. He was real ripped, and he was talking about his wife was on the interview too, and she was talking about they got married, they went on a cruise, you know. Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, he was definitely a novelty aboard the thing.
I'm sure.
He can't wear normal clothes. Oh. And she's like, he couldn't do any, you know, we were going to go jet skiing and do this different stuff, but you had to wear a life jacket, and they did not have a life jacket that would fit over his body.
God.
You know what I mean?
They don't, what? That's weird.
Because he's so broad.
Yeah.
You know, it wouldn't buckle.
Ew.
Yeah, and I was like, that's got to be a weird way to go through your life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then it was talking about basically his life, you know, he would get up and go to the gym, and he was only there for like an hour,
mm-hmm.
you know, but he's real good at gym. I don't know.
Okay.
And then
accelerated gym class.
Yeah. And then he would come home and basically be so fucked up and exhausted that he's like, I'm pretty much miserable and angry the rest of the day. And everything hurts. And then
weird.
I'll feel better in the evening. Then we have dinner and I go to bed.
I don't like this.
It's a weird lifestyle.
Yeah.
I mean, on the plus, some people have jobs, I think, that they hate so much that, like, it's sort of the equivalent.
Right.
Because they'll go to work, and they're there for, like, 8 hours, and they come back all pissy.
And they're angry.
Yeah.
And then as it gets closer to the end of the day, they start to feel better.
Yeah. And then they kind of go home and have dinner and do the same thing tomorrow. So, I mean, at least he's only having the 1 hour in the office.
Right.
And he's just kind of dealing with the emotional fallout.
The emotions, right.
The rest of the time.
I guess.
So, I mean, in a way,
I guess.
I think it's just trading physical pain for office pain.
Yeah.
Which isn't quite emotional pain. I don't know what to call it.
Okay.
You know. Being in an office sometimes is like, did you ever have a black eye when you were a kid?
Nope.
Oh. Well, if you have, as an adult, have you ever had one?
Mm-mm.
If you ever get a black eye, it's a weird thing because everyone says something about it.
Sure.
It's like having a corgi.
Oh, yeah.
And they're always saying,
hey,
you know,
guy.
You should see the other guy, right?
Yeah.
All that stuff. The less tough you are, too, like a guy like me gets endless shit,
yeah.
You know, because they're like, obviously you weren't in a fight.
Aww.
Like the last black eye I had was I was moving a dresser for this lesbian couple and hit my eye on the corner of the dresser.
That is a little weird.
Yeah. I mean, it's not exactly a bar fight. So they'll just say this stuff, you know, and you just, after a while, you're like, I know I have a black eye and I'm the weirdo,
uh-huh.
but can we not talk about my black eye anymore?
Yeah.
I'm over it. Sometimes office is like that.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this question.
Another question?
Everyone talks about black eye. No one talks about blood eye.
Ew.
You know, when you see that person, they've got the blood in their eye.
Gross.
And no one ever mentions that.
Okay.
No one's ever like, hey, blood eye, how'd you get that blood eye? Big fight today?
Okay.
Were you UFC?
I have no experience with this.
Yeah, okay.
I don't...
I mean, I've had these. I've never fought anybody for these things, but...
Yeah.
There's something about black eye is cool to comment on. Blood eye is, like, too far.
See, I think this is just different, because, I mean... My friends, I mean, I think if anyone that I knew came in with either a black eye or a blood eye,
yeah.
I mean, I think I would be like, what happened?
Yeah, I think it's fine to say, what's up with the eye?
I mean, that's, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can't just walk around with a black eye and expect people to be like, hello, sir, normal day, huh?
Yeah.
But I just don't, that's the office part, I think, is people, instead of saying, like, what's up with the eye? What's
right.
going on? They
They're,
have
like,
to veil it with a weird, yeah. Weird,
well,
hilarious.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there is that whole problem of people who are not funny, who try to be funny.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Tired of it.
Yeah, me too.
It's okay
people
not
who
to
are
be
not funny.
Funny
and just don't care to be funny.
Exactly. I
like,
appreciate
I'm
that.
I'm done with this.
Right. Like, you're not into it.
Yeah.
That's fine.
You know, it's like when you watch a show like The Office
yeah.
and there's a Dwight
uh-huh.
and he's just completely sincere and you're like,
right.
that really wouldn't be so bad.
Right.
I could totally tolerate that.
Yeah.
He's really less annoying than Jim.
Oh,
Jim would
God,
be annoying.
Yeah. Jim would be annoying.
Because you're like, will you just fucking stop grinning
yeah,
all the time and doing shit to people's stuff?
Right. Like, just take a break.
I just want to come here and go to work.
Right.
And then go home.
Right.
Just give it a rest.
I know.
Buddy.
I mean, I think sincerity is really the point of it.
Yeah.
You know, and this goes back to the whole juggling question. You
yeah.
just have to be true to yourself.
Right. If you're a sincere juggler, jugglist.
Do it.
juggling.
Go after it.
Yeah.
You know, not with the idea you're getting from, you know, you're getting this other thing.
Yeah.
Girl.
To pick up babes is
do
a
it for yourself.
Silly reason. Yeah. Do it because your heart tells you, this is what I need to do. This is going to be my life. I think we should part on that. What do you think?
Going to, yeah.
Okay. Allison, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me, Peter.
Was there any other song you wanted to hear?
This will be just fine.
Okay. Was there anything final you wanted to say tonight before?
It was a real honor to be part of your 100th podcast.
It was an honor of you for me to be here.
Great.
You know what I mean.
Yeah.
Thanks, Allison.
So much to do, so much to see. So what's wrong with taking the back streets? You'll never know if you don't go. You'll never shine if you don't glow. Hey now.